Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 17th of October, year 2018. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Boom, the Pain is Coming, a call for an uprising of his people, loss of jobs, and then an open mic. We do dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Also for my Welsh buddies, Cumru and Beth. Callers are welcome. We do ask that you hold off for just a bit. And when you do call in, if you keep your comments and or questions as short as possible, which will allow others to participate. And again, we do appreciate that. We are in the question and answer mode, which means anybody calling in or connecting in via their computers will be automatically muted until such time as you use the button on your computer or the star 6 on your phone to let me know you wish to be unmuted and talk. Our website is www.pastordan.net. And on that website, we have a lot of reference material, educational material, news items, letters, anything that we think might be pertinent to the truth today, whether it's in geopolitical realm or in biblical. We also host a schedule for upcoming broadcasts there, and we also have the archives of these programs going back to 1999. We do thank our listeners and those who support us, and we give a shout-out to Jimmy up in Tampa with bankversusutv.com and his audience up there. They're on a new platform on YouTube, and we hope that it'll hold up. I did hear, speaking of YouTube, there was an outage yesterday for approximately a half hour. According to Michael McGibbon and Thomas Gabriel and also Jim Willey, Dr. Jim Willey, and some others, their word on the street is it was a major center was taken control of or shut down, and that it was the good guys or white hats that did that. It was basically a warning to the upstarts that control the social platforms to let them know that they can be taken down at any time. So we'll see. We'll see how it plays out here. Got a few verses here, then we'll get into discussions. This comes from Psalm 25. The friendship of Yahweh is with those who fear Him. Now, you got to remember this English word fear is not a really good translation. It should have read reverence Him. In other words, as the Ten Commandments talk about, He's a jealous Elohim God. In other words, He doesn't want you worshiping anything on this earth, whether it's flesh and blood or made of metal, stone, wood, whatever. Nothing artificial, nothing of this world that we walk in is to be placed above Him. So if the friendship of Yahweh is with those who fear Him or reverence Him, He will show them His covenant. My eyes are ever on Yahweh, for He will pluck my feet out of the net. And, of course, most of the Psalms are written by none other than King David. And the Father did pluck His feet out of the net, the snare of the fowler. In some verses it talks about that, but it's basically a net for catching birds and game. And it's a idiomatic expression. The people that lay in wait for us and put stumbling blocks in front of us and nets to catch us in, bad deals, bad contracts, bad relationships, you name it. The Antichrist, the adversary, is trying to get all of us entangled, is another way of saying it. And this verse is telling us that He's a friend and will get us out of that, as Psalm 91 talks about. for those that he is in fellowship with. And again, it starts with what? Where does wisdom start? Yeah, the fear of Yahweh. The acknowledgement of and fear or reverence of Yahweh. That's where wisdom starts. Ezekiel 33, verse 19. If the wicked turn from his wickedness. Now here it's not telling us who the wicked are. They're wicked because of their deeds. Ye shall know them by their fruits. If the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right. Now what do you think lawful means here? Do you think they give a darn what a bunch of legislators in Tallahassee or Washington, D.C. do? No, this is not talking about law of man. It's talking about our Father's law. So, and do that which is lawful and right or correct, he shall live thereby. Wow, he shall live thereby. You know, we talk about Isaiah 33 at verse 22 a lot too, where it says that he's our king, our judge, and our lawgiver. He's all three. And it's kind of interesting that America, even though the atheists, the communists, the Zionists, the Bolsheviks that walk amongst us, and the traitors, and the cucks and snowflakes, they want us to believe that our faith had nothing to do with this land, and yet the three branches of government come right out of Isaiah 33, verse 22. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, because you have kept my command to endure, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, which is to come on the whole earth to test those who dwell on the earth. How about that? A little reprieve there for those who keep my commandments. So it's not important. The modern-day church world tells you it was nailed to the cross. You don't need to worry about those darn old things. That's Old Testament. Those Old Testament commandments. You don't have to worry about them. Jesus nailed them to the cross. Yes, sir, Jesus came, and we don't have to study them. We don't have to learn them. We don't have to do nothing out of that Old Testament because, praise Yahweh, we've got a hippie, long-haired freak called Jesus as a new God in town. Yeah, right. Wait till you meet him. And you can tell him to his face that's what you think. It should be interesting if you think he's a wimpy little social warrior, soy boy cuck. You've got something to learn here in the very near future. Ezekiel 25:14, and I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people, Jacob Israel. And they, meaning us, shall do in Edom according to mine anger and according to my fury. Oh, wait a minute. Our Heavenly Father can get angry and have fury? Well, I bet the modern-day church world is going crazy with that one. That's right, it's in the Old Testament. They've convinced you not to read it. And they shall know my vengeance, saith Yahweh, El Shaddai. And finally here in Psalm 149, verse 4, for Yahweh takes pleasure in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Humility. We don't have a whole lot of humility in our race anymore, do we? All right, I'm going to jump off the page here a little bit because we got Phil on the line from Tampa. And Phil, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me, Dan. It's a pleasure, although it's not going to be a pleasant experience, although it will be an incredibly healing one for me to share with your listeners, because I'm going to tell you some things that will waken you up.
Well, so, we can... go ahead, buddy, go ahead.
We're already woken up, but I guess where should we begin? Today, something happened to me that has never really happened to me before, and it, you know, we've been, you know, we've been warning about what's going to happen in this country, and we've been warning it for a very long time now. And as a result of that warning, of listening to you and all the and your listeners and other channels and stuff like that, I have done my due diligence to try and prepare myself for what's coming down the pike. And we all know that everyone's going to get hit with something. For years in Florida, I've had a very hard time trying to find a decent job. I mean, a really decent job. And about 3 years ago, I got hired on by a company. It's a healthcare company that was considered one of the top 10 in the United in the state of Florida, top 10 companies to work for in the United States. In fact, I think it was ranked as far as high as third or fourth. And I absolutely loved my work. Okay, they treated their people like very, very nicely. Everyone I worked with was incredibly well. Okay, very decent. And I didn't stress out over my job, and I felt like I was going to have it for a career. And many of the people that I worked with had been there for a very long time. I worked in the healthcare industry, and I worked in what's known as the scanning center, or the central processing center for all the medical information. When the 80 some clinics throughout the state would unite, or they would take their electronic records or their other doctors would send the records in, and they were going to send it to a main database. And it was my job, along with other people, to go through that and to understand where it has to go to, what needs to be done. And it's a very intensive thing, and not very many people can handle it because, well, while it's it can be very tedious, it also is extremely detail oriented because you have to make sure that you have all your P's and Q's crossed. You have to make sure you have the right birth. You have to have a double identifier. You have to make sure that you're going in the right, you know, where it's going. You have to send emails. You have to notify people, things like this. It's not something that everyone can do. Although I had a position where I was able to actually listen to wonderful things on my phone. So it was kind of like my walls, even though I didn't have any. And I was able to listen to archives of your show and your full creator and everything like that. And the more I listened to that stuff, I knew something was going to go down the pike. And things started to change when a year ago, in fact, it was almost a year ago, it was in November, that my company, I'm going to call it, I'm going to tell you what it is because I don't really give a damn. It's called DaVita Medical Group. And DaVita is predominantly, they deal in dialysis centers throughout the country. But they decided to buy another company called JSA, which is in Florida, and they basically bit off more than they could chew. They got greedy because they dealt with simply dialysis, and this is all healthcare facilities, okay, all medical. Well, so they got bought out by a company called Optum, and Optum is pretty big. It's huge, actually, and it's part of United Healthcare. And at the top of the pyramid, if you follow it, it goes to a bunch of seven, how would I call it, sand niggers, okay, rat heads, Indians that live in Canada, basically. They basically control the thing. And we had a temporary employee there who was pretty intelligent. I actually was able to relate to them because some of the employees we had were not the brightest in the box. And he had been laid off from his job, and he was very frustrated. And he took this as a temporary thing, and he was there for just a period of time if he could find something. I think he found something, but anyway. He was worried. He said, it's probably going to be outsourced. I said, yeah, it might be. So I prepared myself as much as possible because I'd wanted this job to be a career job. And because I got overtime and stuff like that and everything I wanted to have with it. I got paid time off and I didn't have the stress that I had with other jobs. And it didn't pay great, but it paid it, you know, it was good. And I got as much, you know, and there were times where I got very, very good overtime. And I really liked it. And the reason why was because they were massively understaffed and didn't have enough to keep up. Well, what happened was that this is a $4.5 billion sale, okay? And so, in order to get this to go through, they had to have the Federal Trade Commission approve it as to go through the government. So what happens is that the branch that was in Florida, which was sold by DaVita, okay, to Optum, was in limbo because between being owned by one company and owned by another. It's kind of like if you had a car and it was not your car anymore, but your job was to drive it. It's like you're a NASCAR driver or something, okay? But this NASCAR, this car you have, you know, it's got a broken radio, it's got bad AC, it's got a bad transmission, it's leaking oil, okay? But it works, okay? It gets on the road and it goes, and it's all your job is to drive it, and you're getting paid to drive it, and you're getting paid okay to drive it. Okay, but you know it's going to break, but no one is taking responsibility to fix the damn car because the government has to approve it, you see? They have to go through this approving process, and they kept asking for more and more information. And so it wasn't, okay, so it kept not being approved, and our situation became more and more worse because when I first got there, we had like 65 clinics, and then we kept getting more and more and more clinics. We couldn't keep people on staff. In fact, I was the last person in my department that was hired on. Then we hear that the pharmacy department of the company had been axed, completely gone, okay, out the door, okay? Now we have this situation where the government has basically stripped us of any ability to do anything, and we're in a catch-22, and in order to comply with the federal law, we had to be within 4 hours of the time in which the stuff is put in the system to when we can file it. Dan, we were like 7 days behind, okay? Mm-hmm. We'd work overtime, we'd catch up, and then we'd fall behind. And if you had an error on any of the things, if it didn't meet the requirements, you'd have to keep it in there, and then you have to send it back. We had stuff that was like a year old that hadn't been sent back. Well, today I go in and we said, and what I had done is in preparation for listening to your show, is I paid off my house. Actually, it's my mother's house, because my mother has no choice in doing anything. It's like if I sell the house, she's going to run out of money pretty quick. Okay, she's still in reasonably good health, and so I paid off the house. I fixed up the kitchen. I paid off my car. I had to get new, and just a few weeks ago, had to pay to get new hearing aids for my mother, because otherwise she may go deaf. Okay, and you couldn't get adequate health care for that. Well, and we'd been hiring these temporary people. So today, I go into work, and we knew something might have been up, and sure enough, it was. And they completely destroyed. They completely axed. They got rid of the entire department. Okay,
mm-hmm.
That entire department was completely axed for what they call financial reasons, what decisions that had to be made. And as I look at my termination letter that everybody got, it doesn't mention specifically this department, because they're going to just going to downsize and downsize and downsize. And it's becoming, you know, it's becoming extremely frustrated. They gave me a small severance package. I'm going to receive my 4 weeks' pay. I have to work there till November 5th in order to receive that. Plus, I'll get my PTO time. See, the reason why I hadn't been on your show is because I've been utterly exhausted. Okay, and it's certainly the last thing I didn't want to do is be on a phone or anything. I didn't want to be on the internet or nothing. I just wanted to just lay there and just chill out, maybe read a book or, you know, go out and take a walk or something, because I'd been putting in a lot of hours because I knew we were behind. And so I had acquired 145 paid time off hours. Thank God I have them, because I'm going to get paid them. But now they've got rid of it, and they've got rid of it because the government had done this, because we've been taken over by a foreign entity, and our department is going to be outsourced. It's going to be outsourced to a company in Kansas, okay? It's very expensive. And so what's probably going to happen is they're being charged like a certain amount per page, and it's just going to be insane. And I bet the government required them to do that. And so they'll probably do that. And then what they're going to do is they're going to send it overseas, because we already had people that were on the phone or that were working that they didn't want us to know about that were in India, if you can believe that, of course. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to keep that secret. And so we had, so now we're being screwed, and it was the most devastating thing you ever saw. It was hell. We have people there that were there for 20 years. And it was only the employees in that particular office. There were like 8 of us, and I was the one that had been there the fewest amount of times. There were people for 12 years. They didn't know what else to do. They had not done anything, and they thought they were never going to have to worry about anything for the rest of their life. And now they're going to be left out in the cold, and they have absolutely nothing left. And this kind of thing is just absolute. And the temporary people that we are getting, okay, will just absolutely make you cringe at who they were hiring and putting in there. We had a girl there who's from Puerto Rico, okay, and she would show her picture of this guy she knows, her friend, okay, and he's an Arab, okay, mm-hmm. and he's the typical Arab. He looks like the typical Arab terrorist that you see in the news. He's kind of fat, overweight. He's got the long, scraggly beard. He kind of has crazy-looking eyes, okay? Mm-hmm. He's always driving a vehicle. And just last week, she's laughing silly, and she shows me her picture of this guy. And this Arab dude, I don't know where he gets the money. He spent $8,000, Dan, on buying himself a baby monkey, okay, that goes around with his vehicle when he drives it all over the place. Okay? So I have she's Puerto Rican, okay? And mm-hmm. I'm having to discuss, there's one black guy in the office. He'd been in the company for like 15 years, okay? Dumber than a box of rocks. He's from South Los Angeles. We have an argument. He claims that Puerto Rico is all Republican power, okay? It's all right wing. It's a right wing extremist, okay? Okay, that's why Trump got in office was because of Puerto Rico. I said Puerto Rico can't even vote in the presidential election, you dumb shit. I couldn't say that because he's a darkie. And if you say anything about blacks, about the color black, I mean literally just the color black, he flips out. Okay? Mm-hmm. And you know, and his father apparently is it one of those black Freemasons, okay? And all he thinks about is sex. It's constantly sex. He jokes. He says, "Well, you know, if nobody was around, I'd be watching Pornhub on my phone." Okay, he openly says things like this. Okay, he's disgusting. And then today, I'm sitting there. I have a window. I'm right at the front right of a bright window in front of me, in front of my computer, and I got my back to them. And the Puerto Rican girl, or whatever you want to call her, I hear her say, I guess she must be looking on the internet or something because we weren't doing very much work, you know, because we just got fired. And she's like, oh look here, a black guy just raped a white woman. She says, "You better not get that on the news because they're just going to hate black people." You better not let that get out. And my response was, "Yeah, sure, they're going to let that on the news." And she says, "What? What did you say?" Mm-hmm. And so I'm, you know, okay. Mm-hmm. So this is the kind of crap, okay, and that you're getting. I mean, it's just absolutely beyond stupid. Greg, the black dude. He claims that all of Europe was ruled by blacks, and he has this video of that's taught by a rapper, okay, mm-hmm. and he loves to show it, and he's in this classroom with all these muds, and he says, look here, this is a black guy. He's showing like Alfred the Great. Okay, you know he claims that Europe was entirely ruled by blacks up until like 1500. I mean completely. Okay, and he shows it. He says, "See, look, this guy's black. This guy's black. This guy's black." Okay, you know me, Dan. You know I have a library of books. Okay,
mm-hmm. Right.
I recognize the photos. Okay,
mm-hmm.
You know why they look black? Because they're in low light. It's like you could barely see them, okay? So they call it black, This is how stupid it is. You know, I mean, it's just beyond me. You know, so my neighbor across the street, he works for a company called Spine Institute. He was a parts manager. Okay, they just totally axed 70 people like 2 weeks ago. Okay, he's out. I mean, so luckily I was able to do the things I did. And I don't have anywhere near amount of the savings that I do. But then I've got a house under my, you know, I got a roof over my head, and the bank can't take it. Okay. So, and it's all because of you. Okay. And your show. Okay. And knowing what the hell's going down the pike, you know, I have my car. It's paid off. I paid it off 4 years ahead of time. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then I have to pay that stupid interest, you know.
Right.
And so, while I've been kicked to the curb, so to speak, you saved my butt. Okay. So thanks to you listening to Yahweh and me listening to Yahweh and listening to this show.
Right.
So thank you very much, Pastor.
Well, you're welcome, and it's an honor. And you're one of many calls and people that I've been hearing about lately in similar situations to where. They were able to see ahead, which is a benefit of what the scripture that we've talked about many, many times is, you know, if you revere, which means give credence to or follow Yahweh, he sends angels, which are just messengers. It could be a radio show. It could be a buddy. It could be whatever. And if you follow the advice of Proverbs, where it says a prudent man sees disaster coming and prepares for it. So all those things come together, and like you said, and I'm glad you give the credit to the Father because that's where it belongs. He does give us warning about a lot of things, and that's something we're going to get talking about here shortly. Some other warnings that we were given just today about what's coming down the pike. But, you know, you have been done this way. And again, why is it? Because we have allowed the aliens into our land. So here again, we violated the law. And I just found out from Dan from Georgia, who's a regular to this program over the years, he has lost his job up there in Georgia. He's been there for quite some time, so now he's looking for work. So it goes on and on and on. I've got family back in the Northeast, same situation. They can't hardly find decent work. Many of them are doing things like our ancestors used to do, where they're moving in with each other or sharing a split level, or not a split level, what do you call the, two houses together. What the hell? I can't think of the word.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about. Back-to-back, to side.
Yeah.
But anyway, duplex. Duplex.
Yeah.
So anyway, the thing of it is that, you know, we're in economic hard times. Even the X-22 report tonight and a couple others were talking about the fact that the indicators saying that the economy is good are all rigged, okay? Now, supposedly they're partly being rigged by the White Hats because they're getting ready to take the Fed down. But so that when the economy collapses, which everybody knows that the dollar is on its way out, everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a question of who is going to get blamed for it. And so this is supposedly a mechanism to have the sheep out there that, like you said, most of them don't know their butt from a hole in the ground. They're going to go, well, it's the Fed and the increasing of the interest rates that's the problem. In the meantime, you and Dan from Georgia and many of the other people I know, Laurie out there in Wyoming, and many other folks know that, no, the economy is not good. Housing is down. Car sales are down. Real estate values are rental values are off the charts because people aren't buying, so they're renting. So now demand for rentals is up. So, you know, it's... But here again, when do we learn that if we just obey Father, none of these disasters would be amongst us? None of these aliens would be doing what they do to us. You know, and Phil, when you look on the news and you see the cameraman or whoever is doing it, a video is me, they're in Washington, or they're at the Pentagon, or they're in the Capitol, and they're panning the crowd, and they're panning people that are making the speeches, they're panning people who are making decisions about our country. How many white Anglo-Saxon Protestant males do you see?
Mm-hmm.
Almost none.
Yeah.
Almost none. We have been disenfranchised off our own land.
Mm-hmm.
Our founding fathers were our ancestors, meaning you, me, and all the other Anglo-Saxon Protestant males out there. This country was founded by WASPs, whether they like it or not. And since the Bolsheviks, the Zionist Bolsheviks, have come into this country, there has been an outright attack against the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant male. Take a look at the Supreme Court. Who's on it? It's all Jewish and Catholic. The very people that the founding fathers of this country said don't let in here. They thought the Pope was the Antichrist. That's how much they hated Catholics.
Well,
even
you know,
when I was... What's that?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, you know, there has been this. I'll say this. There's been a feud between, I guess, the church, if we use that as a general term, and Freemasonry. And what you have today, and what's known as the Catholic Church, is the Novus Ordo from Vatican II, and it's basically taken the Protestant movement and turned it like to an insane level, where there's absolutely nothing. It will accept anything, and you can't even proselytize. And it's taken that universalism to universalism of everything. So any kind of decency that there was within the church that had been for so long has been dead. You know, and it's been destroyed. And you're right. That's exactly, you do have a foreign power. You know, you do have that. We couldn't have that. But whatever it is that's in the Vatican is not anything like it had been in say back in the time when Alfred the Great was what you might call a Catholic, because it doesn't even resemble you. They got, like, you know, you get Hindus in there, you get ragheads, you get everything, and he bows down. Anybody who grew up Catholic back in the day when Catholics actually meant something is laughing their ass. You know, it's like, this is a joke. This is like, you know, it's completely unrecognizable. You know, and that's right. I remember one of my friends called me on the phone. Oh, he texted me. Okay, and he's a Steelers fan. Okay, and I'm a Bengals fan. And he never speaks to me, but he ragged about that the Steelers won again. And I said, the whole damn thing's rigged. You know, and if you look at Pittsburgh. If you look at Pittsburgh, the whole thing is one gigantic Freemasonic nightmare. Okay, the whole city is run by William Pitt, who was a hook-nosed Jew. Okay, Freemason, and they got this pyramid at the lodge there. It's a lodge, and it's a children's center, which is a center of pedophilia, which is why you got all these damn Catholics screwing around with all these little kids in Pennsylvania. It's all, you know, and Penn State is nicknamed Pedophile U. Okay, that's what it's been called for years. They got this pyramid that said it says ingrained in the stone, dead with Christ. Okay, that's literally what it says. And it's there in Pittsburgh at the Three Rivers, where the number three, you know. And I said you got to understand, all this stuff is fake, you know. And he's like, I don't take it serious. He says, well, why don't you talk to me about something important? Why are you nagging me about something that's stupid? You know, you're picking me out about my team that I root for because I live there, you know. And he's just nagging on me because the league rigged it so that the Freemasonic Steelers could win again, you know, because you have that duality of the yellow and the black. You got the sign on one side and the other side. Everything's all rigged, and he doesn't want to think about the real things, like the economy collapsing, you know, and the Jewish power.
mean, you look at the, you look at some of that stuff in there in Pittsburgh. It's just it's Jew Freemason. You know, it's that Catholic crap. It's just crap. You know? I mean,
right.
And
right.
Everything is just is, you know, and as things go, you know, they destroyed the U.S. Steel, you know. And so you know, and people are like, oh well, I'm just going to watch football. I said, why? Well, they do it because it's cheap, you know. But I'm looking at all this stuff in Pittsburgh, you know, and I use the S word rather than the P, and because that's really what it is, you know. You see what goes on there, and see what they did was they destroyed, you know, they destroyed the U.S. Steel, okay, and what did they replace it with? Banks. Banks. It's a big bank hub, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and so it's just endless butt kissing, and we're paying the price for it. And people won't talk about the real issue that is the thing that's destroying our people, and our people are being like, you know, having their interest being distracted by something, by a bunch of fat niggers in dark tight pants running around hitting each other, okay? You know, and because they won't talk about the real substance. I said, Mike, why don't you talk about anything real substance? He says, because I'm green. I said, well, see, he's from New Jersey, okay? So I know, but he rooted for the Steelers because he wanted to start with a root. I said, why don't you talk about something simple, you know, or something, you know? Why don't you use your brain? Why don't you use you know, discernment? Okay, you know, logic, you know. I mean, this is a guy that hates the Catholic Church, and yet he invited me to go to a gay pride parade in St. Pete because he thought it was cute. Okay, but yet he's divorced. Okay,
Okay,
and with two kids. That's how crazy it is, you know. And he smokes pot, you know, and which I don't have a problem necessarily with, but he just doesn't want to think. He just is like. You know, and he lives literally 5 miles from the Meadowlands where the Giants and the Jets play. So why does he root for another team in another city? And why is he talking about something only that stupid? You know, and why is he nagging me about it like a little kid, like nee 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 nee? You know, it's just
well,
that's
all they've got. That's all they've got. You know,
I
grew up just south of the State College campus there, Penn State. So Penn State was. Near and dear to all of us Pennsylvanians back in the day. This was back in the 1950s. So we were always very, very strong supporters, and that's why we were shocked when all that news came out. But I still remember after we left, I went into the military and traveled, and I started traveling as a contractor, so I spent a lot of time out of Pennsylvania. But on one of my trips back, I went through the town to see if I could find one of my buddies who was living there, and I couldn't find him, but I ran into some people I knew, and they were talking to me about how Penn State had changed. And I says, well, what do you mean? And there was some sort of a festival. I'll call it Oktoberfest, but I don't know if that was it. But there was a festival, and they said that some group, what do you call the, oh my gosh, the people that graduated from the school, faculty.
Oh, the alumni?
Alumni, yeah, alumni. Uh-huh. The alumni had approved of this event on the campus, and the students were going to be allowed to erect these big tents, and you could pay $3 to go into the tent, and anything you wanted to do, you could do inside that tent. Anything.
Really?
In other words, wow. there was no law, there was no immorality, there was no oversight whatsoever. You just paid the $3, and anybody in the tent could do anything they wanted. And I said, you've got to be kidding me. And he goes, nope, and you can just imagine what went on in those tents. And this was years ago. So Penn State was going downhill. I'm thinking it was back in the 1990s when I made that trip back through there. So you're talking a good 20-some years ago. So, you know, here again, the morals of this once Christian republic have almost vaporized. in the same way that we don't hold people accountable anymore, and that includes our government officials, our military, our police, our local government, our children, our teachers. We don't hold anybody accountable. We don't prosecute people for perjury anymore, lying. So lying has become an acceptable thing in America, supposedly Christian America. Yet I still can't find in my Bible anywhere where it says it's okay to lie to one another. Now, when the midwives lied to Pharaoh, that was to save lives. That's a little bit of a different story. They just hid the children and didn't tell the Egyptians about the Hebrew children, our ancestors being born, the boys. Okay, so, you know, people throw that one at you, and I'm going, that's a completely different thing, apples and oranges. We got people testifying in court cases at the municipal level, at the state level, the federal level, that are liars and misrepresenting, causing people to lose their property, their jobs, their reputation, in some cases, even their own life. And we're not holding them accountable for lying. So, you know, and Jimmy here says, what the hell, what is that word? Oh, deflection is not lying, deflection. Yeah, that's true. So, but here again, the midwives weren't in a courtroom under oath either. They just didn't tell the Pharaoh like they were supposed to, just take the boys out and drown them. And they just refused to commit murder because the Pharaoh said so. So the point of it is, you know, this country and this world has turned completely Luciferian, if you think about it. And and Lucifer, of course, means adversary. So you think about this. Everything in society is an adversary to one group of people in particular. And what group of people do you think that might be, Phil? Just take a guess. Take a guess.
They're the adversary to the white man.
To the white man, exactly right. Everything in this society, yeah, that's right. The white Protestant believer, male, and we saw this coming back when we saw the feminist movement take off, when they first came up with this hate crimes thing. We saw through it clear back then, and we watchmen have been beating the drum ever since, trying to wake up our people to where the Antichrist was trying to take us. So this has been going, you know, a lot of people are just now waking up. They're acting like, well, things aren't moving fast enough because, you know, we know this and we know that. I'm going, how would you have liked to have had the wake-up call I had during Vietnam and still be waiting for something to do, somebody to do right? That was back in the 1970s, and I'm still waiting for people to do right over what was done wrong to the American people and friends of mine I lost to Agent Orange and the lies about Agent Orange and who produced it, who made the money from it, who owned Brown & Root, the company that made all of the airfields, the barracks, etc. in Vietnam. Brown & Root had the construction contracts. And isn't it amazing? Brown & Root was owned by Lyndon Baines Johnson's wife. Does that sound familiar? Insider trading. Yeah, Brown & Root was owned by the piece of dirt, Lyndon Baines Johnson, who should be dug up and burned.
Come on, Dan, are you a conspiracy theorist? Come on, please. That's just coincidence.
But see, the thing of it is, when you allow corruption at the top, it goes downward. So going downward, where did we have something similar to that happen closer to home to us? Oh, it's out of Tallahassee when Rick Scott's wife is making millions of dollars by spraying us with poison for a Zika virus. When the Zika virus, if you did get it, was no worse than a slight cold. If you did get it. But because of propaganda and lies, they had everybody scared to death, and those two made millions of dollars selling us and forcing people to have this poison sprayed on. You see what I'm saying? Corruption at the top starts eking its way down, and then it ends up at the county level and down at the city level and the precinct level, and now it's even in our homes. Our people aren't moral anymore. They're not moral at all.
Let me tell you about my company I worked for. there's one thing they would do something. They would require you a flu. They would ask you to do a flu shot. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you refuse to take the flu shot or your vaccine, okay, which we all know what it does to you, you are required to wear a mask every time you walk in the door. Now we didn't have to do that because my office had never dealt with any patients. I didn't have to deal with the public at all, except if it was like a bug man or something, okay? Mm-hmm. So we never had to deal with the public at all. So we were not required. But if you work for the company and you work at any one of their facilities and they ever see any patients, and if you refuse to take your vaccine, you are mandated to wear a mask constantly. And if you do not wear your mask, you are sent home.
Yeah. My daughter's a nurse in New Jersey, and the exact same thing was happening to her and the girls there that were resisting the flu vaccine, and they went one step further. They start out by trying to shame you by making you wear a mask, which is ludicrous because if everybody's vaccinated, then what the hell are you worried about? So yeah. It was to shame you and label you as nonconformist, and that wasn't working because there were nurses there that wore the mask every day. They didn't care. They wore the mask. That didn't work completely. They wanted 100% compliance. So what they did then was, if you don't get the full battery of vaccinations, you don't work here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So they tried to shame everybody into it, thinking that the average white person today will easily be shamed into it. When they found out there were some obstinate ones there, and they happened to be some of the better nurses, and they couldn't afford to let them go, they just turned around and strong-armed them into it by saying, your job now depends on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when is it time to say enough is enough? That's one of the things I wanted to get to tonight with our discussion, and I'll bring Jimmy and anybody else in here in a minute. But when is enough enough? When do we do like Q said? When do we draw a line in the sand and say, we will not back up from this point on? We've been backing up for decades. I'm kind of tired of backing up, aren't you? When do we draw a line in the sand and say, no more of these damn immigrants, legal or illegal? All of these people, here's a pet peeve of mine. I'm going to bring it up since it's election time. And I looked at the ballot today. It's in three frickin' languages, okay? Now, I want to know who had the balls to tell somebody who can't read or write or speak English he has a right to vote in my country? Who? Mm-hmm. Who in government signed legislation that says my tax dollars are paying to put ballots out in multiple languages when there should never be a case where somebody who can't read, write, and speak English has a right to say anything about governing this country? That's total bullshit. And here's another one while we're talking about it. Why are there applications for a driver's license in multiple language? You're putting people on the road with a license who can't read the goddamn sign? Are you freaking stupid or what?
Oh, my God.
And here's what's worse. What the hell happened to us, Phil? Why are we sitting around allowing these kind of retards do stuff like this?
I have a coworker, okay, who is basically I'm trying to wake her up, okay? I tried to give her some information. What was the response that I got? Oh my God, don't tell me to read a book. Please, I don't want to read a book. And so I show her some stuff on my phone, okay, about what's really going on. And she's like, oh geez, no. Okay. So now that we got our papers to get out of Dodge, she's decided that she's probably going to go in the woods and go live with her father because she doesn't know where else to go. So, well, I'm serious. She's like, this is how crazy it is. She literally is going to go live with her father in Wood.
Well, so, you know, if that's what she wants to do, fine. But here's the problem. You know what that tells me? That little story right there tells me that the founding fathers, once again, were wiser than we have ever even dreamed of being. Because the founding fathers said, in order to be a participant in the running of this country, which means if you want to cast a ballot, if you want to hold public office, if you want to sit in the jury box, or you want to cast a ballot, you have to be what? A free white man believer to be tested by a group of elders in your knowledge of Scripture, and you had to own property. Now, why would the founding fathers limit those that can make decisions about running this country to that into that group? Well, because that group has the IQ, that group has the vision, that group has the faith, that group represents who we are, and that group has skin in the game. That's what property does. It forces you to pay attention to what the hell your government boons and goons are doing. Because these people, like that girl, oh, I have to read a book? Oh, my God. You have to actually read something? No, I got a better idea. Take away your ability to have anything to say about running this country. Every single person should be tested. And if they don't meet a minimum qualifications, then you don't have a right to have a say. Why should some person out there whose only qualification is that their body temperature is 98.6, why should that person have as much power at the ballot box as Jimmy or you, Phil? Because I know both of you are intelligent, well-read, and you're up on the issues, but some piece of dirt out here, their only qualification is they've walked this earth for 18 years, never accomplished a damn thing, but they stayed alive for 18 years, and they suck air. That's their qualification, and they have as much power as you do. That's a form of insanity, Phil.
Yep.
That's a form of insanity. That's committing cultural suicide.
What is right or what is wrong is determined by only one thing. If you can convince one more voter than the other side, you win. Okay? So that voter could be dumber than a box of rocks. He could be in an insane asylum. He could be anything, okay? Or he could be a she, an it, or whatever. Okay, he could be a robot for all you know, but if you get one more vote, that determines right or wrong, and so you get the mob mentality. You know, this is Baal worship. You know, this is you know, we're gonna allow everybody to do anything the hell they want to do. You know, we're not gonna have no restrictions whatsoever, and that's where we're going. We've become totally taken over by the Jewish, you know, Kabbalistic system on every single level. I mean, I could get into things that, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it, you know. And it's everywhere. It's everywhere. And if we don't do anything about it, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the future is going to be like. I just don't.
Well, there's a couple good videos that were just put out within the last 2 days that talk about one of them is Q, the people are the storm. And he goes a little bit, whoever put it together did a very good job, because he's putting in there what these Satanists that are walking amongst us plan to do if the witch had gotten elected, all right? And it was not pretty, okay? So that's why I'm telling people, this is a call to action right now. This is a call for an uprising. And by that uprising, I'm talking about uprising your spiritual level, uprising your physical level, uprising your mental capabilities, uprising your involvement in what's going on in this world, because if you don't, there is no tomorrow for your children, your grandchildren, for you, or anything that you care about. because these people won't stop until they eliminate the white race and everything the white race stands for. And I'm tired of it. To be between you and me and the fence post, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of people trying to put down my ancestry, because I study historicity. I don't watch Jewish propaganda. I've studied real historicity, which tells you who the real inventors and civilizers are, and I'm going to guarantee you, it's not a bunch of orangutans from the African continent, all right? Even Pastor James David Manning in Harlem, New York, has told his congregations, you people are stupid if you think you can run this country, because our people have been on the continent of Africa for 75,000 years, and we never did a damn thing to develop anything in 75,000 years. And he's right. All right?
Yep.
He's correct. 75,000 years, and they never developed a damn thing. And yet you've got retards running around trying to say Hannibal the Great, Alfred the Great, Caesars, Cleopatra, all of whom were white people, that they were black or mulatto or Egyptian or whatever. And it's like, you've got to be kidding me. Are people really that stupid? But here's the thing. You know, you can't do anything with the people who are willfully ignorant. Joe Cortina, the Special Forces commander that we've interviewed quite a few times, he's got an excellent book out, John 8:44, The Sons of Satan Exposed. Like he says, willful ignorance should be a capital crime. Now, think about that for just a second. Now, some people say, well, that sounds pretty, that's pretty harsh. Yeah, but think about this for just a minute. Put on your Spartan hat, the real Spartans from ancient Greece. If you made willful ignorance a capital crime, it wouldn't be very long. You wouldn't have a lot of the idiocy you have going on right now. First of all, most of those in Washington would vaporize, okay? Like the congressman from Georgia that thinks because the Marines landed on one end of Guam, it was going to tip over, okay? Is that stupid or what? That's the definition. When you look up in a dictionary for the definition of stupid, there's the congressman from Georgia with his picture, because that's stupid. Or anytime Maxine Waters opens her mouth, anytime, is another definition of stupid. Okay?
Yeah.
Those people are sitting in Washington getting to pass press a button or cast a ballot, however they do it, for legislation for this country, making decisions on the running of this country, and they're that stupid. How did we ever let that happen? I want to know, when did the white guys decide to back up and let the women rule them, their children rule them, the non-whites rule them, the Jewish sons of Satan? Okay, they're tempting you with their fake digital money, but what happened to your brains? What happened to your, you know, your integrity? The very word character, do you know where that comes from, Phil? The word character?
I used to remember, I think, but...
Caractacus. There was an ancient Briton warrior king by the name of Caractacus, and he led the Britons against the Romans, and they were very, very successful, but at one point, Caractacus and his men lost the battle, and the Romans captured him. Now, the Romans had a way of embarrassing their enemies by taking their kings in a cage and bringing them back to Rome and parading them through the streets of Rome on the end of a leash before they'd take them up in front of the Caesar and probably execute him. He would be executed at some point, but they would humiliate him for the day, throw things at him, and beat him up and everything else. But Caractacus was given an opportunity to address the Senate before he was going to be executed. He gave such an intelligent discourse on why it would be better to form an alliance with the Britons rather than piss them off by executing their king, that they said, they not only set him free, if I remember the story right, they gave them Roman citizenship.
Yeah.
So we have the very word character comes from his name. What happened to the white man's character? What happened to that? Where did it go? What are we waiting for? What are we afraid of? What are we intimidated for, about? What is it? What happened to our... Are all of our real men gone? That's what I want to ask. Are all of the real men gone?
I'll tell you what I think, okay? I think there's a couple... I think that the problem with America as it was founded was it was just founded on the individual to the extent that anything beyond that is irrelevant. That if you are taught from the beginning that it's all you, and that God is within you. God is not an intrinsic. God is not an actual deity. He's inside of you, and so it's whatever your opinion is. So it matters, and so you divide the country on an individual basis, and you're afraid to serve. If I serve under you, you know, are you going? What's going to be the consequences of that? You know, and do I necessarily agree with everything you say? No, I don't. But if you're my commander, I'm required to do so. You know, and that's the problem. The justification. Here's one of the negative consequences of Luther. Justification by faith alone. Okay, justification and regeneration had been. From the beginning, in Old Testament and everything else, justification for you know was and regeneration for were in the same classroom. You could lose your salvation. You could lose your relationship with God if you did not continually try and improve yourself on a daily basis to become a better person and to serve another individual, another cause, something greater than yourself. Okay, But with justification alone, that means all you have to do is believe in an entity, a God, Christ, or whatever, and you can just do whatever the hell you want to do. And so the law becomes no longer important. I read something that really shocked me. I found out that you know that book I have called Jews and Their Lives by Martin Luther that exposes the Jews. Mm-hmm. One of the problems with Luther. Was that he actually taught that he taught that the God that gave the law to Moses had to have been a Jewish God because there's no way you can be perfect with following the law, so that's why he had this problem with following the law because he hated you know he just he says I can't be perfect at it so I might as well just throw the baby out with the bathwater and say you just gotta believe and that's it. And so that's where we get this. So that's one of the problems that we have. And so if you have the justification and regeneration in the same classroom, which is what it's supposed to be, you'll continually get better and better and better. But if you don't, if you have just justification by faith alone, you can do whatever the hell you want to do. You can kill babies. You can rape. You can do anything you want to do. You can be a sodomite. You can be a thief. You can be a criminal. But you got that cross on your head. Oh, I believe in him. You're okay. Then you're going to heaven regardless of how wicked you are. And so when you split the two up, it ends up destroying the good of the Protestant movement. Okay. We become universalist to the extent of universalism of everything, of every idea, of every concept, and this undermines the American cause. The Americans understood, you know, in our early days, they understood that you had to constantly strive, you know, for that regeneration. But the justification has been taken to such an extent that it's become its own poison. And now Christ has become just an idea with no backbone. And if we don't, and the Jew is taking all these other groups and they're making them Judified, like they're making the blacks like say you know say, oh yeah we're going to exploit this by making the white guy feel bad about himself, just like the Jews do, you know, and so they're going to do this so we can get their women, we can get their jobs, we can get their social welfare check. And because they're taught to do that, and it's not that hard because they're like a freaking gorilla in the jungle. That's what they do. They just
Let me bring Henry's call in here. Let me bring Henry in, and then I'll unmute you, Phil.
Okay,
Henry, welcome to the program.
Hey, yeah, how you doing, Dan? And hey, Phil, how you doing?
I've been better.
I was listening a few minutes ago when you were mentioning about the blacks' history in Africa, the 75,000-year history of their accomplishments, their fantastic accomplishments in Africa. So I don't know if you have a laptop in front of you. Do you? This is really funny. If you can't do it, I'll describe to you. I just got to thinking when you were talking about that. I said these Jewish search engines are so rigged today. It's so pathetic. I'm going to try something.
Mm-hmm.
So go on search engine and type in American inventors, and then make sure you've got images highlighted. And I swear to God, you can see it for yourself. I'm not exaggerating. You'll get about 40. If my screen fills up with about 40 pictures of people, inventors, and 37 of them are black.
Are you kidding me?
You can all do it for yourself.
I just did it. I just did it. And the very first three are all black. Then we get one guy could be either, it's Thomas Edison. Then we go to a guy that looks like a Jew. Then we go to a black female, black male, black female, Alexander Graham Bell, black, 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 black. So you're right.
And if you scroll down, it just keeps going, too.
Oh, yeah. But they don't, but they're not playing with the algorithms. They've told us
no.
Yeah, they told us they don't play with the algorithms.
The sad thing is there's so many young, impressionable people that'll do this and think to them, you know, the kids. They have no foundation anymore. They have no real learning skills anymore. They've been brainwashed through the system, and they'll look at this and think, yep, I guess so.
You know what I'd like to do? I'm going to present this to you guys and get your opinion. Wouldn't it be great if we could take all of the alpha men, the men who are tired of all this BS that's going on, wouldn't it be great if we could just take all of the guys and just leave? Go somewhere. Where nobody else is there right now. And watch what we can do with it, like the Boer farmers did in South Africa, like the wilderness areas and the deserts that we've turned into paradises all over this earth. We could go somewhere and let all these brilliant people just have this place and then come back in 20 years and see what it's like. All right? Let me give the story of a friend of mine who used to go over to Africa on missions. He used to go over with millions of dollars. This is how big the church group was that he represented. He used to go to Africa with millions of dollars to help the African people. And he would tell me they would go in there, they would build schools and hospitals and put stores up and show them how to do agriculture. And then he said after we got everything all set up, we'd turn it over to them and then we'd go. And he goes, we'd come back 10 years later, and the jungle had reclaimed every single thing we built.
Yep.
I don't know if you remember. I may have sent this to you. I think I did, Dan. I'm not sure. I saw an article. It made me laugh. But it was about that there's a problem in Africa. Okay. Well, it's not really a problem for us. But apparently there's missing and destroyed penises in Africa as the rise of witchcraft is taking place, and apparently the blacks are believing that their penises are now small or they've totally gone. And so there's like there's panic, there's riots in the streets and stuff. And I saw this article, I think it was on Renegade Tribune. I thought, man, this is hilarious. It said all we have to do is just let the, you know, just God is, you know, Yahweh is in such in His wisdom. All we have to do is let these jungle creatures live as they are, and the snake will eat its own tail, and we won't have to deal with anything, and they'll eventually destroy each other.
I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah, it was a hilarious story. Yeah, I'll see if I can find it. I'll send it to you. But yeah, it's apparently been really going. They're like the satanic witchcraft stuff, is witch doctor stuff and everything, is just absolutely going through the roof up over there. And I'll try to send it to you. So
well, it reminds me of the woman that came back from being a missionary in North Africa. For, I think she was there for 25 years. I can't remember her name, but I read the article. And what was amazing is that as soon as she got back to the States, and this was quite a long time ago, when she got off the boat and came to the docks, of course, there were some press there and everything wanted to talk to her. And one of the statements she made right off the boat was, after that many years in Africa, that I can tell you this, they will never be a self-governing people. Never. After 25 years of missionary work in Africa. I think Livingston that was there said something to that effect as well. That, you know, it doesn't mean they don't have a right to life or anything else. It doesn't mean they can't be held. It just means they're not, and even James David Manning, the preacher, the PhD preacher in Harlem, says the same thing. We just weren't given those talents, folks. Why don't you just grow up and accept it? Why are you trying to mimic the builders and civilizers of this world and act as if you can make the same kind of decisions they are? You can't do it. You don't have the tools. And that's what she was basically saying. 25 years of trying to help them, it just proved they are not and never will be a self-governing people. But then again, what does the book of Genesis say Adam was put here for? To keep the garden. That this earth is the garden. We are to maintain law and order. That's our job. That's what we were put here for. We are the only species, we're the only thing created here that the breath of the Father Yahweh was breathed into. That's His creative spirit. That's why we're the inventors. That's why we, quote, think outside the box. And sorry, Eve, but you weren't given that either. You were given a small piece of it, but Adam got the lion's share because you came from just a portion of Adam. So you have a portion of his abilities. Portion. Adam was put here first by himself. Adam was given the damn job. And I'm sick and tired of us Adamites sitting around waiting to see if anything good's going to happen by a bunch of people who are not of our kind, not of our faith, not of our culture, not of our heritage, and shouldn't even be here in our land and given citizenship. They don't have a right to citizenship. Under our Constitution, only a white man has the right to run this country. We built it. We are the only ones who should be making those decisions. And that's the way the Founding Fathers set it up. And if people don't like hearing it, that's just too damn bad. Because look at the mess we've got now. Mm-hmm. Teaching our children in school by transsexuals? Who in their right mind thinks that's okay?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about it. Hey, I have a quote. This is from the great one, Adolf. Let's see. Doesn't dawn on this depraved bourgeois world that this is positively a sin against all reason, that it is criminal lunacy to keep on drilling a born half-ape until people think they have made a lawyer out of him, while millions of members of the highest culture race must remain in entirely unworthy positions, that it is a sin against the will of the eternal creator if his most gifted beings, by the hundreds and hundreds of thousands, are allowed to degenerate in the present proletarian morass while Hottentots and Zulu Kaffirs are trained for intellectual professions.
Well, let me give you a little story as a second witness to that. I used to work in South Carolina at the, what was it called? The Westinghouse, the Savannah River site. I'm sorry, Savannah River site. Used to be Savannah River Plant when DuPont owned it. Then it became the Savannah River site when Westinghouse bought it out. I worked there for, I think it was 2 or 3 years as a contractor. But I got to know a lot of the in-house people really well. And one day, one of the better supervisors of the instrumentation and electrical technicians came up to me and he said, they're finally going to promote me to supervisor. And I said, well, man, that's really great. I said, because you're probably one of the best guys I've ever worked with. Very smart, very proactive, good worker, took care of things, and we worked well together. And he says, well, there's one problem. I can't remember the other guy's name, Joe, I'll say. They have to promote Joe, too, who happened to be a black guy. And I said, well, why is Joe being promoted? He said, because of the rules here, they can't give me the promotion until they give Joe a promotion. So they're going to give him a promotion to supervisor, same pay rate as this guy, so that they can get this guy because they know he can actually do the job. But in the meantime, here's Joe, given the rank of supervisor and the pay, and he's going to sit in an office all day playing games on the computer, which I saw many of them do. Okay, now there's some white people doing it too, but they're trash and they need to be fired and gotten rid of as well. But the point of it is, that's the stupidity of America. You want to know why America is a third-rate nation, why we are turning into a, quote, shithole like the rest of the third world? Is because we're doing what third-world idiots do. You can't be politically correct and play this affirmative action game without destroying your infrastructure. It's just lunacy.
I think, you know, I think feminism was the first step, too. That was the catapult, I think, that started this downfall. I don't know about you.
Well, it was one of the facets of the mechanism used to destroy this nation. It was one of the facets, that's right.
Yeah.
Feminism, everything goes against what the Founding Fathers set up, what the Founding Fathers taught, what the Scriptures taught, what the preachers taught back when it was run by the people Yahweh put here to run things. White men who feared and obeyed Yahweh to the best of their ability. That's who creates things. That's the people that bring law and order and civilization. And when that group, for whatever reason, decided that they no longer were going to be in charge and they're going to let these usurpers come in, including these damn Jews, that's when everything started going to hell. Now, all you got to do is reverse engineering, as Jimmy calls it, reverse engineer from where we are today and take your little mental time machine and go backwards and start eliminating all the steps that have been eating away at our infrastructure through the ages and through the time, and go back to when things were working. And guess what? It's the Talmudists that have come in here and infiltrated our decision-making, our churches, our seminaries, and everything else. When the Talmudists got their sway and they started teaching their filth out of the Talmud and Christians decided to become progressive, I don't want to cause any trouble. I just want to go get along to get, you know, I just want to get along with everybody. Can't we all just get along? When did that become a white man's mantra? We're the fighters. We're the warriors. We're the ones who set the standards. We don't sit there and go, black people, I really feel bad that you call me names, or Jews that you call me names, Asiatics that you call me names, or Mexicans. Who the hell cares? Have we become such cucks that we're going to sit by and let this happen to our land and happen what these people have planned for our children and grandchildren? That's why I'm saying I'm about ready to run out of time with Q and the white hat thing altogether. If they're out there, and I see evidence that they're there, I see evidence that they're there, But here's the thing. How many more people have to die? How many more ridiculous things have to happen? How many more children need to be raped or consumed by these assholes? How many before we finally do something?
I'm starting. I agree. I'm starting to sway back to not believing this stuff is going to come down the way that all these YouTubers are talking about it. In my heart, I want to believe that this is going to, these white hats are going to overcome this, but I got to start seeing some evidence of some real stuff happening, some real people going down, big names, and I'm going to draw the line pretty soon because I'm really getting tired of waiting, and I'm starting to have a lot of doubts about it now. I don't know. I'm even having a lot of doubts about Trump too now. I got to be honest. I don't know.
Well, here's the point, and we've said this, okay? We know what the book of Revelation and all the prophets told us, and we see things happening right now that could go either way, okay? We're told about the merchants and the weeping and wailing and the political leaders. Well, who's doing the weeping and wailing? Well, the merchants, the bankers, the big CEOs, and the people with the crown and the Vatican. All these things are spoken of, okay? However, the enemy knows that we're looking for these things as well.
What?
The enemy knows that. So could this all be a gigantic ruse to get us to go to sleep, that we're into the book of Revelation, which means pretty soon down comes Babylon? You see, that's why if there is a righteous element out there and they're wearing white hats and they actually want to make this world a better place, they better start pretty damn soon, because the real Adamites, the real warriors of our Heavenly Father, they're sitting out here below the radar screen. You don't see them on social media. They don't go to public meetings. They keep very, very quiet. They keep very, very much to themselves. They know about the spying. They knew that the NSA was lying when they said that they didn't keep information on everybody. They knew that. Lots of them knew that. They used to be in the military, just like I was. I know they lie. They lied during Vietnam. I know what the public was told. I was in the Strategic Air Command. I know what we were doing, and it wasn't what they were telling the public. So I knew firsthand, right from the get-go, that the government and the military lies. Now, should they do it? No. But until we come to become a righteous nation again, we're going to get spoon-fed lies. And that's why I'm trying to tell you. If you white hats are out there, and I know you're listening, I know there's a lot of people listening, I'm starting to hear other channels talk about the very things we talk about right here. And we're the only ones talking about this stuff in the manner that we do here. So when we hear it somewhere else, this word's getting out there. So if you white hats that are listening, if you are there and you want to make a difference and you want our help, you better make a move pretty damn fast. That's all I got to say. Everybody's tired.
Totally agree. How about you, Phil?
Dan, I've just sent you that link about the penis snatching in Africa, so you might get a kick out of it. It's from Live Science. Everything we have, everything we see around us is completely exactly the opposite. Turned around upside down is the way it's supposed to be, and this is because the Antichrist Jew is anti nature, because he doesn't want to, he's against a king, he's against authority and stuff like that, and there's no kingdom in his world, and that's one of the problems one of the consequences we had of getting rid of George III. Is that we didn't want to think the idea that there is a king. We'd say, well, there is, well, Christ is our king, but they wouldn't define it specifically, or they weren't allowed to anyway. And so what happens is that we're not willing to serve, because what we need to do is we need to be able to look at someone and say, okay, you Dan, you are my brother. Okay, let's say you have a wife. Okay, that is my sister. And that makes her mine. But for me to take her from you
is stealing, okay, that belongs to you because you're my brother, okay? And so we need to think of that in terms of our family, and you serve the extended family. One of the people I work with is Barbara. She has 35 grandchildren and great-grandchildren, okay? They are perfect, beautiful white family, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking about the race issue, okay? I was having to be quiet about it and all this kind of stuff, the truth about identity, because she goes to a Judeo-Christian church and she's been brainwashed. And I said, you have the most beautiful family I've ever seen, okay? It's absolutely the way it's supposed to be. And I said, you know, what matters is having to fight for those people. You belong to me. You are my sister, and your children are mine. That doesn't mean I own you. You're part of my family, and I'm here to serve you. You need to learn to practice selfless love, not selfish love. You're not supposed to go take someone else's wife to bring into your tent. You're supposed to fight for another man's wife so that he can take her into his tent. Okay, as long as you make sure that you know that he's your brother. And when you do that, that guy's going to fight for you, and you're going to fight for that dude, and the niggers are going to be out of here, the Jews are going to be out of here, the Sphinx are going to be out of here, the ragheads are going to be out of here. You know, they're all going to be out of here, and we're going to have a pretty damn clean land. That's what's going to happen, okay? And we have to do that, and we have to think on those terms. And I told her that, and I said, and I told her about what's happening in South Africa with the blacks killing off the whites. And her response was, she started to cry. She says, I can't care about that. I can't care about that. You know, she says, I just don't care. I just have to do my job. I said, you have to care about that. I said, it's real easy for you to have all those beautiful children, okay? Having kids, that's the fun part. It's fighting for them. That's what matters, and that's what you're going to remember, and that's what people are going to build statues for. Okay, they don't remember people who have children. Okay, any Tom, Dick, or Harry is going to want to have kids. You know, every man wants to do that. It's being able to fight for those kids and being able to fight them, even when they're not your actual children. They're your brothers and sisters, and that's the difference between the Israelite and the goddamn Jew.
Well, they're Satan's kids, for crying out loud. Mm. We haven't heard from Jimmy yet. Let's bring Jimmy into this. Jimmy, have you got anything on your scratch pad? What?
I was snored. Hey, good evening, Dan. Good evening, Phil. And I just want to say to your listeners, I have had the honor in our first meeting to meet these two gentlemen, and we nicknamed the meeting the Old White Guys meeting. And I will say, Dan, you know me, I keep show notes and I like to make comments, but you've got me spinning around faster than a wind sock in a tornado tonight, brother.
Well,
I love it to hear when I, you know, I go off, as folks have heard, I'll get into my crescendos as well. But your passion shows, and I know that folks have sent us email. It's like, yeah, we try to keep the F-bombs down. And to Phil's point, sir, it's an honor to hear from you, and I need to talk to you off air about a couple things, man, because
okay.
Without saying too much, I think we discussed this possibility a while ago. So I'd like to talk to you about it and maybe help protect you on that, and I'm
okay.
not soliciting anything other than a cup of coffee with a brother. And, Phil, I agree with you.
Take it anytime.
If I may go backwards down my show notes, Phil said it best. You know, and Dan and I have had this chat. If I have neighbors come by that, you know, when the brown matter does connect to the rotating blades and, you know, I have food. Well, I told you I was going to clean up my language for now anyway. And that's why it's nice to at least gather too on Wednesday nights because, you know what, we are serious, but I can't tell you how much I enjoyed meeting these two gentlemen, and we did have some humor and some fellowship. But back to my point, Phil, what Phil was saying is correct. I care about my neighbor and his wife, and frankly, his wife is very attractive, but she's not mine, but he is my brother by neighbor. And I've met them, and, you know, it's not like we're going to be at odds with each other. We do disagree, but I would protect her like my sister, but that doesn't mean that I would offer her my tent. Phil, that was profound. It really is. And it's back to go backwards in my show notes, what Dan was saying. You know, integrity, honor. I go to sleep, and I'm not bragging, guys, but I go to sleep at night and sleep well. My hands are clean, both in my business and in even dealing with the banks for people that are, have been hog-swiggled out of their houses. It's got to be done above board. There's no tricking. And to go backwards on Project Veritas, released some very interesting and damning videos today. I love those guys. And to circle back, Dan, here's one thing that rang my bell tonight, amongst many, was there's not, and I put in your chat room, there's not a lot of men left. And even the men I thought I know in 10, 15 years ago, they have gotten either soft or they're just cowards or they think I am a fruitcake that's getting ready to be delivered this Christmas from Clankston Fruitcake, which, by the way, I toured their plant up in Pennsylvania as a kid. But it, we have tried. You're the veteran of all my shows and interviews and co-hosting and guest callers. Dan, you got us beat, and for that I applaud you. And you've got to see more of an evolution than maybe many of us had. But back to what Phil said, you have been a beacon to many, 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 many people. And I heard, Phil, congratulations. And I'm not trying to steal any thunder, but when you first met me, what did I tell you I did? Exactly what you did. Pay off the debt. Get that shit out of your backyard right now. I would not take my house and leverage it, and I'm not giving legal advice nor any kind of investment advice, but you need to call me because you're sitting in a good spot, and I may have someone that, you know, if you want to take a break for a while or finish off your leave with the company, but I got a guy that I want you to talk to that I trust that probably could use your services, and I'm not a headhunter either. Anyway, back to the real thing, Dan. You know, I've said on your show many times, I am not a violent man. I do not want to pick up and fire the first shot. But if you do, I'm going to finish the game. I'm going to finish the deal. And frankly, that shot, Dan, was fired and Phil. And I think we have another caller on it. I didn't mean to be rude and not address
Henry.
You, but
Henry.
Okay, hey, Henry. Sorry,
hey.
Sir. God bless you, too. All
no
right.
Problem.
But the thing is, Dan, did I send you the mail last night that said disgusting where we had a transvestite reading?
Yes.
Okay. And it wasn't just, you know, you and I have talked about that. And, Phil, I had to laugh because I got out of control and made a comment to the St. Pete Pride Parade, and I had the FBI show up here within, like, 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You there, Phil?
Wow.
Or don't be scared. We don't have to be scared of them. Anyway, to continue my story, we have this overweight, fat-ass man sitting there in a very bright costume. It looked like a muumuu, but it had the colors of a clown and her face painted. And I'm setting up the picture, then I'm going to give a brief overview of the article, by the way. And she's got colored hair and, you know, everything a little girl boy would be fascinated with or would capture their undivided attention, especially if there was promises for beads and prizes and all this other happy crap which was in there. But the article, now there's the picture, folks. There's the visual. As sickening as it is, it's true. And I'll post the article in your chat room here, Dan. But anyway, the article goes on points, and it's such a positive thing. You know, librarians across the country are embracing, I don't know what her name was, you know, Lady Demon, I'll just pull out of the ass, in bringing this character in and to teach children diversity. And I'll post the article. You'll see the picture I'm talking about. These are kids that are 5, 6, 7, maybe 8 years old. Very impressionable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I need to belabor that. So let me go up to my next thing. Dan, again, to give you the 19-year accolade, if the Nobel Peace Prize was in my power to award you, I would award said. But people are waking up, and I got whacked from YouTube for, you know, not airing copyrighted material, but airing politically charged material. I got the email. I'll get to that later with you guys off air. Now, to go backwards and complete my time, because I think I've ranted long enough, where are all the men? Dan, I think that's how you and I met, because you probably heard me say that 400 times when I interviewed Cody Snodgrass.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what brought you and I together. That's probably one key phrase. Where are the men? Where are the white hats? And Dan, in my, I don't know, I think the Lord whacked me over the head in, what, 2007. So, you know, 11, 12 years, I've learned a lot. I've opened my eyes a lot to things that I thought would, you know, the government's never going to crash 2-3 towers in New York City. And, you know, there's more to that story, but I won't take up our time. Now I know they goddamn well did.
Mm-hmm.
Or I have a strong belief, let me say it that way, for those that want to correct me. Anyway, Dan, in closing, or in just yielding the mic, I've told you I stand ready. I'm not going to fire the first shot. I'm not a violent man, but I have effing had enough of this. I see the kids. I see there were 4 rapes last night just in the Tampa Bay area, 18, 19-year-old girls.
Good grief.
Now, well, listen, I don't have any kids by loin, but I have friends that do, and I have friends that have their kids over in the very campus of USF. And you don't think I wanted to get up and put on my proper clothing and utensils and get in my car and go over there and help find that son of a bitch?
Yeah.
Anyway, you see where I'm going. And real quick, yeah. Dan, I'll yield. I really, you showed the same passion that I kind of chastised myself when I listened back to our recordings, but we have to keep that up, Dan. It's good for our health, and it lets people know, A, we're not, none of us would be here if there wasn't a problem, I guess I'll segue in. And we're all taking flack, which means we're over the target. And Dan, I put in your chat room when you were on it, man, don't stop doing that, because it's healthy and it lets people know that you're a calm, civil, level-headed man, and they get a chance to see you, and it's no different than Kavanaugh at his final, you know, debate with Ford. Everyone chastises him for getting emotional and then getting aggressive. And I'll tell you what, I saw, regardless of what we think of Kavanaugh, I saw a man in that testimony. And with that, guys, I yield the mic.
Yeah, I want to check. I got a strange number here. It's from the St. Pete area. I want to see if they have a comment or question. Caller, the last 4 is 6626. Did you have a comment or question?
No, I accidentally pushed the button. I'm a friend of Professor Phil. He told me to call in and listen.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Yeah, so I must have accidentally pushed the button. I had no question. I was waiting for Phil to come back on. Is he still on?
I'm still here. Hey, Steve.
Oh, okay. All right, then. Very
hey,
good.
Phil. Sorry about that. Just had no question right now. Just listening.
Okay, very good. Thank you. All right. Well, I had Jay was supposed to call in tonight, our buddy from downtown White Police, but apparently something called him away and he wasn't able to call in. I know he's been visiting up in that area, so I was thinking that might be he might be calling in on a borrowed phone or something like that. And, you know, it's amazing how many of our people that, you know, we pride ourselves being Americans and promoters of free speech, and we found out that free speech only applies to the communists, the Bolsheviks, the Talmudists. It doesn't apply to white Anglo-Saxon Protestants who represent the founding fathers. No. I remember when the Dyke hag, Janet Reno, the Jewish hag Dyke, Janet Reno put out the memo that the people that needed to be watched in this country were the very people that are on this call tonight. White Anglo-Saxon males who believe in the Bible, believe in the Constitution, believe in independence, believe in small government. She actually put it out that we were to be monitored as domestic terrorists. And we now know that these Talmudists, that's exactly what they think of us. Look what the Talmudist Hillary and the other Talmudists in Washington have been saying lately, that we need to take this country back from who's taking control of it right now. We can return to civility when the communist Democrats take back control. So they are outing themselves for the fact that they are as un-American as you can get. The Bernie Sanders types. Bernie Sanders is a flaming Zionist, Talmud-thumping communist. And so are the rest
Dan,
of these
Dan, I'll behave myself as soon as I get the piece of candy. I mean, that's what a child would say. That's how a child negotiates, especially a bratty little kid. Well mommy, I'll negotiate as long as you give me a Hershey bar. That's what Hillary just said.
Well,
we'll bring order back as long as you get me in power. And I'm sorry,
right.
Sir.
As long as we're controlling everything and we get to say who survives, who dies, Arkansided, who gets to live, who gets to have their opinions broadcast, who controls the media, because these Zionists and pedophiles and all control the media, these elitists. You know, it's sickening to watch it, especially when you know the paradise this world could be if we just obeyed the Creator. That's all. It's so simple. You can take all these millions of man-made laws and burn them. Put every one of them into a burn barrel and just start opening the book correctly translated now. And if you just hey, I got one for you. Just follow the Ten Commandments. We can't even do that. Just follow
those 10. Yeah, and they're tearing those down. They're tearing them down from our government buildings, some of our courthouses, Dan, had the Ten Commandments in kind of a brick type configuration like you'd see at the curb of a church. And they're gone, man. They're all gone from old Tampa.
Because these people are Satanists. They're Satanists. They're not Americans. They're not of us. They're not of our culture. They're not of our heritage. They're not of our faith. And those are the very definitions of nation. Look it up, people. Don't trust me. I don't care.
Well, and you're right. And people ask me, it's like, okay, you guys are well-formed, well-spoken. And Dan, thanks for the kind words. I took pride in my foundation education. And as I put in your chat room, that's where the word polished in his field, in my opinion, comes from. You know, you have a polished table which was crafted in his naked wood and now has the veneer on it, you're going to have a couple of scratches and skid marks from whatever, but you've been there and done it and developed a good foundation core of common sense, reasonability, and the ability to reason with people. I can sit and discuss something with someone that I disagree with as long as they're not using Dr. Phil's 101 manual that was paid for by George Soros. And these people are trained, argumentative people. And the thing is, back to what you said, about 90% of the people in D.C. are, I'm sorry, but I'm going to say it because it's true, they're morons. And I posted the link to the Georgia guy that said that Guam was going to tip over, and I actually happened to be watching that live with a couple other buddies, and we did bust out laughing. And it's sad because it's not funny. It's serious. If we have one of our supposedly honorable, respected leaders, lawmakers, that is going to question a fixed island that is nothing more than earth protruding above the waterline in fear of it tipping over. I mean, again, I'm not going to waste our time on that, but I just I actually went and posted it. Yeah, but go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got one to add to it, so you're going to have to refresh my memory. It's been a few years, but who was the black Supreme Court justice that retired a few years ago? Was it Marshall?
Boy, you're catching me on that. Alex is going to have to play the second song.
All right, whatever. You can look it up. I didn't care enough to remember his name, but he retired. I'm going to say it was like 3 or 4 years ago. Whatever. You can look it up. The point of it is that he gave a retirement or a going away speech, and I have to I thought about, you know, I don't remember this guy ever publicly speaking. He was on the Supreme Court.
Was it Clarence Thomas?
No, not
okay,
Clarence.
Okay,
no.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but go ahead, because that's why none of us know.
Thurgood Marshall. That's it, Thurgood Marshall.
Okay.
So it was Marshall.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
So Thurgood Marshall, anyway, so he gives a speech, and I listened to it. And then I said to myself, now I understand why they would not let this man speak in public. Because he sounded like somebody with about a sixth grade education. Now, this guy sat on the Supreme Court all those years. So what was he? A rubber stamp to whatever the liberal communist wanted. Because when he spoke, it was just like Barack Obama when the teleprompter shuts off. He's a complete idiot. Complete idiot. All right? This is what's been going on in our country. I don't blame them for trying to get away with what they do. They're criminals. They are Satanists. They're criminals. They have no conscience. It's not them that I'm upset with. It's our people that I'm upset with. What are we going to stop asking the criminals to fix the problem? When? We're the people that Father put here to run the show, whether we like it or not. My Navy buddy gave me the expression. Perfect expression when we were talking here a few weeks ago. He said, Dan, do you realize that we've been brainwashed to think everybody else is better than us? He said, but we white men who have integrity, who have character, who've trained and studied, and we work, we develop, we care, we nurture, we protect. He said, we are the prize. We've been going around like we got to kiss everybody's ass because they're the prize. He goes, Dan, we are the prize. And I said, hallelujah, you're right. Go back to the book of Genesis. Who was put here to do the work? Adam. All by himself. Adam. We can do this job without any help. Would we like to have help? Absolutely. I've got people who are non-white, who are some of the strongest patriots and friends you could ever imagine. So this is not 100% a racial thing. No, it's not. But by God, if you study history at all, if you study the scripture at all, there's only one group of people who were put here to bring law and order and civilization, and it was us men, whether anybody likes to hear it or not. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of looking at pages on the internet of people holding public office, and all I see are women and non-whites. I see people running for government, all women and non-whites, the very people who were not supposed to be in charge. You and I were supposed to be in charge. And I'm tired of us sitting around and wondering why the people who are on the other side of the fence aren't fixing the problem. They created the problem. You and I can fix the problem. So when are the men ready to fix the problem? That's what I want to know.
I know, Dan.
You guys are ready. You guys are ready. The people I talk to, I'm on the phone every day for hours. I'm surprised I can still talk. Hours every day.
Same kind of men. Yeah.
They're tired of waiting. What is it going to take? What do you have to see, people, before you realize the dire situation we're in? How much more do you have to see? How many more babies need to be butchered? How many of your susceptible little ones at the 5 and 6 year level have to be paraded in front of queers and transgenders before you
see
a problem?
Let me interject, Dan. in Michigan 3 days ago, 11 babies, not fetuses, but babies, decaying bodies were found atop a funeral home. Did you see that, anybody?
Yes, and guess what they were up to.
Well, and that's why I wanted to kind of, and again, Dan,
yeah,
you
know what
they
were doing?
But keep this flowing, yeah.
Yeah, you know what they're doing? They're putting lids on caskets with nothing in it, and they're selling the baby.
I agree.
And Lord knows
what
else
they
sold.
By body parts, right? And blood. See, I ran this by one of my nurse friends, and of course, you know, she's got four kids, and she's a good white family, as Phil had to say, but they're awake. And I talked to her about this, and she's a daughter of a lady that knew my mom. My mom was in medical. Anyway, so I trust her is why I said that. And she said, Jim, I'll bet you $100. They drain that body's blood. They harvested the organs, and, you know, and will we ever see the autopsies? And I said, well, I'm going to leave that up to you. In other words, you go find it with your credentials if you can. And I'll try to find it with my credentials. But, Dan, thank you for the interruption, but, I mean, that's one in probably 1,000 stories a week that we don't even get to hear about.
Here's
that
the
is
problem.
Just egregious. Go ahead, sir. Yeah.
We have a disease in this world, and we're going to talk about America because that's where you and I are, but it goes across this entire earth. We have a disease, and you, me, and all the other white men are the surgeons. And I want to know when the white men surgeons are ready to take out the disease instead of sitting around hoping the disease will take care of itself. We have a disease on this earth, and it's killing and maiming people by the millions.
It's like a thorn that was put in our foot 50 years ago and has festered into an infection that could jeopardize our leg. It could give us blood poisoning. I mean, again, Dan, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I know you don't have the answer because I always close my show when I do live shows with, what do we do, gentlemen? What do we do? Do I have ideas? Yes. Do you have ideas, Dan? I bet you do. I'm not going to speak for you. I bet Phil does, and I bet our caller guest does. But, see, it's like us setting up our Ark City. People are going to look at us, which I don't give a rat's ass, but eventually government's going to come in and say, well, wait a minute, you're not on the power grid, and you're not on our water system, and you can't possibly, and I'm going to go back to, I'm not saying I agree with Waco, but you brought up Dyke Bitch there. What's her name?
Janet Reno.
Thank you. I might be old, but I still am good looking. But anyway, but I guess my point is, Dan, is, and I will promise I'll yield the mic. I am ready. I think I'm educated enough to know what my cause is, and actually the word think isn't proper. I'm confident that I know that I'm correct. I'm confident that I agree with you and others 100% that the disease has festered into a life-threatening infection unless we eradicate it.
Yeah.
And I liked your analogy of surgery. And with that, sir, I yield.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you can go to Dane Whittington, who's probably the leading expert on whether being used as a weapon against us right now, and the fact that the geoengineering has gotten us almost to the point of no return. So just in that one area alone, what these criminals are doing for the sake of making money, all of this is about control and money. Lindsey Williams, the Baptist preacher that was up on the North Slope of Alaska back when Exxon discovered that huge find of oil up there on the North Slope, he says it in his book, the same thing. When the Exxon president said, Lindsey, you're going to have to shut up. We've been gagged. We can't tell anybody about all this oil we found. And the guy, and Lindsey Williams looked at the executive and said, well, what is going on? I thought that's what we're here for. We should be celebrating. And he just looked at him and he said one word, control. We're being manipulated and controlled to the point where there may be no future for not just the white race, but for all of mankind. We are that close with all of the geoengineering of the skies, the genetically modified foods, the hybridized seeds. These are all unnatural things. And who in his right mind, I want to meet the person that is going to tell me that you live a completely fake, false, and phony world that's made up of all this hybridization and geoprocessing, and you think you're going to survive. Point to some place in nature where this has happened. Somebody tell me that. Where in nature does even the animal kingdom ever do something as stupid as that? The animals themselves.
Well, therein lies the rub, Dan. The instincts of our, you know, you and I bet all the callers, live callers now, and I bet most of your audience is in our general age range, which means we grew up in the same generation of still we were taught respect. I'm a Southern guy, so I say scruples. And that's gone. And these kids, if they heard us talking, Dan, they would think they were absolutely from another planet. I was talking, real quick story, I was talking to a young technician with my friends at Comcast. Excuse me, I almost threw up. He's 26 years old, well-educated, still kind of dripping behind the ears in network, but he's awake. But he said, Jim, I had to leave New York because most of the people around me thought I was crazy. And see, there lies my proof of programming that I know I'm beating a dead horse here. But it's if you look back and see, I needed to go back in the Wayback Machine of time and put it all together for my convincing or for my research. This has been a slow drip of whatever toxic you want to give it. They are killing us. They're killing this country. They're killing our food. They're killing our water. They're killing our resources. They're trying to tax us over this stupid global warming. Now, Dane Willington, Dan, I'm very familiar with, and I do watch each one of his productions. Normally comes out once a week. I think I watch it on Saturdays. And I agree with him because we have to be factual. The global warming title is merely the boogeyman. Now, do we have issues? You bet your ass we do. Most of it is through weather modification. And as far as carbon deposits and, you know, we should put some filters on our coal systems, but I think we've done that. And, Dan, that's your wheelhouse. To a certain extent, called power generation. But at the end of the day, I'm going to wrap it up with this. If we, and Dan, you said it earlier, why can't we just be happy? I agree with the context that you were using that. But frankly, I'm going to say, why can't we all be happy if we all throw our talents on the table and everybody earns, and I don't mean to sound socialist here, but everybody earns their fair wage based upon their education, based upon the number of hours they put in. Phil indicated that his job was, you know, highly technical and highly, you know, he needed to be polished to become an expert in his job. And I'm going to say this, our second meeting when Dana and I met, Phil actually had to wave us off because he had to go into work. Now, that's dedication, folks. But anyway, I didn't mean to spin off the rail there, Dan, but at the end of the day, I'm going to circle back and hand the mic, and I guess in broadcasting we call this the handoff. But what do we do, everybody? Ladies and gentlemen, Dan puts a call-in number out there, and maybe, Dan, you open up, you know, like the old fireworks show we used to see it when we were kids, and open up the phone lines and let everybody weigh in. But I am ready for what I think we need to do, but two things, and I'll yield. One is I can't do it by myself, which thank God I'm not alone, and B, we need to have a plan. You know,
well,
you,
the father's got the plan. What he needs is men who are willing to take a stand and follow the plan. The father's already got the plan. And before I'm gonna address that here in just a second, but I got a quick announcement before we run out of time. Laura Ferrez Wilson, that used to have the program on EFR, I talked to her recently. Her and her husband Gary's doing much better now, and she is developing a new variety show on YouTube, and she's asked me to be part of it. And it's not a like a game thing or anything that. It's going to be very serious, but she wants it to be in 10-minute segments to keep it flowing. She and her husband are building products that will be on the market, and the profits from these products will be paying for the channel and also be able to give a stipend for the people that are going to help out with this new program. So keep that in your prayers. I've told her to come on this this call and share some of this information in the near future, so when she has time, she's going to do that. Now, talking about what do we do, okay? So far, Father hasn't given anybody that I'm aware of a crystal ball as far as exactly what to do. I do see good things happening. This is not all negativity, all right? This is exasperation. For those of us that have been awake since the 1970s during the Vietnam War, for all you latecomers, you ain't seen nothing yet, all right? Try doing what I'm doing, and that's wake up a sleeping, sound asleep, brain-dead white population from the 1970s till today and not getting very good results, let me tell you. Being called everything in the book, said you're paranoid, if you don't like it here, go to some other communist country, just to try to wake them up to the criminality going on in Washington and the lack of the Constitution and the enemies that were flooding into our nation. Now, here we are, 30, 35 years later, and look at the mess we're in. And nobody's going to tell me that there weren't watchmen trying to talk to people, because I was one of them. We were trying to talk to people. Nobody gave a damn. I tried to tell people that you're buying these foreign products, you're going to put people out of jail or out of work buying all this cheap shit coming from all these other countries. You know what they told me? I don't care. That's what they actually said. I don't care. I'll be dead before any of the things you're talking about are going to happen. I said, well, what about your children and grandchildren? It's their problem. That's what they actually told me. It's their problem. So we've been trying, and here's my point. I'm on a mission, all right? I wasn't put here on this earth by accident. I'm on a mission, and I'm here in the name of the Creator, Yahweh. I am here in His name, and my mission is to destroy this evil element that has been so pervasive in this society. I'm not here to compromise with it. I'm not here to try to talk it into being good. I'm here to destroy it. Just let that sink
Amen.
In.
Amen.
I am
Amen.
Here
well
to
said.
Utterly destroy it. And all I'm waiting for, like Gideon, like Joshua, like Abraham, like King David, like Solomon, and many of my other ancestors, I'm waiting for the men. I'm waiting for that Ezekiel 37 army that rises up out of that valley of dead and dry bones, which is a biblical expression that simply means the average white guy out there watching television today. He is a spiritually dead individual. And Ezekiel is talking about that very kind of person. Doesn't give a damn about anything, doesn't stay up on any issues, doesn't get his fat ass out of a chair for much of anything. That is the valley of dead and dry bones. And Ezekiel tells us that Yahweh's going to pour his spirit out on that valley of dead and dry bones. I think it's happening right now, personally, from the things I see. So at some point, Jimmy and Phil and Henry, we're going to see a vast and mighty army of white guys that finally give a damn. White guys that said, you know what? It doesn't matter if I live another day longer. If I have to live in this hellhole and watch my loved ones be butchered or sold into sex slave trades or put in prostitutions or given drugs so that they could be manipulated or any of this other shit from hell, If I got to live with that, it ain't worth living. When white guys get to that point, we can conquer the world once again. And
Amen.
Guess what? We can bring back law and order because that's what we do. You
that's
let
right.
all these people tell you, oh, you white guys just want to abuse everybody. Really? That's why we've got all these MUDs trying to get into our lands, right? Because we abuse them? Wake
really?
The hell up, people. If we were so
Amen.
Abusive, they'd be trying to get out of our countries.
Yep.
Right.
Stop listening to the propagandists and start looking inward. Men, and I'm talking to the men, the solution is in our hands. Just let that sink in, what I just said. The solution is in our hands because if it isn't you and me in the name of the Father, then you tell me who it is in this day and age. You tell me who is out there in the name of the Father saying what we're saying. You tell me who it is.
I second that motion. I second that motion for answer.
Yep.
Great motivational speech.
Well, here's the problem. I don't like blowing my own trumpet, but by God, guys, tell me if I'm not right. Who else is doing it? If it isn't us, who the hell is it? I've said this
Dan,
for 30
you're doing it.
30 years,
Dan,
I've said.
Yeah.
Show me the guy I can get in behind. For 30 years, I've been looking for the leader. 30 years. Where's the patriot? Where's the person standing up for righteousness? Where's the person with righteous indignation that says, I've had enough? Because I don't want to be a leader. I wanted to find somebody that's worthy of my efforts to support him. And I haven't found him yet.
Well, and be parallel brothers, Dan, if I may. You know, and again, you and I cross paths unbeknownst to each other. But, you know, when you ramp it up, which God bless you for it, it's like my soul has jumped into yours and yours has jumped into mine, and you're voicing and I'm not stealing your thunder, and somebody said good motivational speech. Well, I don't think Dan has a speech. I think it's coming from his gut, his soul. And I don't mean that negatively, but when I do your shows and other shows, I keep show notes on your show, so I like to bring up certain topics. But I've never had a script. I don't need a script.
That's not what I meant.
I didn't mean to throw a rock at you. That was not my point. I was more poking fun. But, you know, it was a good motivational speech, sir. I agree. And I didn't mean it with any negative
right.
at all.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I've known Dan long enough to know that that's all from the heart, and he's been doing this for such a long time.
I was throwing your irons, crossing your T, brother. And again, I meant that with no dig whatsoever, man, because we need to keep the brethren together. And the folks that I've met in person and the folks that I've met on Dan's calls, I can feel it through the phone, man. I can feel it when I do my shows, if I've got somebody that's being genuine. And I'm going to circle back, Dan, and thanks for letting me cut in like the rude guy I am, but I'm Scottish and I'm pissed. What do we do? I mean, and you and I've had conversations on your previous shows. I think I've done everything to prep and get ready, but I'm almost like, you know, that firecracker with the fuse out there that I don't want to light, but I have to be prepared if it does get lit.
Well,
you've
already done your prep work, so you don't have to worry about that. You're already there, so you stop worrying about it. It's all these other people that need to get off their ass and get involved. You've already done your part, and Henry was trying to say something there, so I wanted to give him the mic to let him say what he wanted to say.
No, I'm sorry, Henry. Go ahead, man. I'm going to mute you, Dan. Go ahead.
I'm not sure I was going to say anything beyond what I said. I was just, I know Dan well enough to know that everything that he does say is absolutely from the heart. If he was inclined to be that leader of men, I'd line up behind him any day, of the week. But,
no, thank you, Henry.
I claim the right wingman position, Henry.
I'll be the left wing. No. Take that back. Yep. But I don't know. I guess it's up to people like us, because we put our faith in the government. I think it's going to be we're all going to be let down. I'm just skeptical about what's going on in the White House right now. I just don't know.
Well,
this is probably maybe for another night, because it's getting kind of late. But if the White Hats thing pans out and we start seeing all these people roll, I don't know how. That just doesn't jive with the way I understand the scriptures as far as how it's going to end, because seems to me it's going to be pretty nasty, and that's why Yahweh is going to have to intervene. And if the White Hats are successful and fix everything, it just seems to me that that doesn't tie in with the scripture. So that's something that I'm a little confused about when I try to look at this and, you know, analyze it and keep the scriptures in context with it. It just, it's hard for me. But that's probably the main reason why I'm kind of skeptical with the whole Q thing and Trump's White Hats and all that stuff. I just think
interject? Because Henry is totally correct. And Dan, you've heard me say I'm on the fence with Q. I'm on the fence with Trump. I like Trump. It was certainly better than getting Hillary in there. We know that. But was that to prolong us, to kind of bring us into a smoother landing of the crash that they know has been happening for years, Henry? And I don't mean to cut you off, but I think you're spot on. I trust very few people, and I am constantly soaking this in, both propaganda and facts, and I weigh it right here in my own studio, brother. And
we're all going.
You nailed it. The short answer to my rant is you nailed it, Henry, and I yield.
Well, yeah. I was contacted by people in the militia, not the Florida militia, though they do know the folks in Florida. And I was told that the state militias are still alive and well, but they're well underground. They know that the typical problem is they're infiltrated, and so there are small numbers of men who train, and they're people that they've known for many years. And I don't blame them. The point of it is that there's an army of our people out there sitting just below the radar screen, and I don't know exactly what will ignite this thing. In Lexington, it was the shot heard around the world. We don't know who shot it, but it ignited everything. And we're going to see something very similar this time. I agree. Do I trust what I see going on with Trump in Washington right now? No, I don't completely trust it. Do I see some elements that could be very good? Yeah, and I would support anything that's patriotic, anything that fixes the problem. However, once again, I'm going to say it. I don't see anybody in Washington proclaiming the name of Yahweh. I don't see anybody in Washington saying that we should throw out all these man-made laws and let's get back to living under God's law like we were supposed to be. That's the problem.
Well, Dan, may I? 1 week ago today, we dropped 680 points in the Dow Industrial Averages, and I keep an eye on that too. The next day, 1 week ago tomorrow, we dropped another 550, I'll just say 500 because I'm not sure. Do the math. Then Saturday, Friday, I expected the amazing recovery. Okay, and to me, my old accounting days, the stock market doesn't react that way. But it only gained about 250 points on Friday. Mm. And I'm swapping text with my guys back and forth going, Okay, and then Monday and Tuesday, and I did have to drop off because I've been involved in a project, and I'm like, Phil, once I can multitask, but if I get focused, I kind of shy away, which is why it's good to have you guys, because what I miss, you catch, and what you may miss, I catch. And if we share, we're catching it all, or the most part. Anyway, Dan, to your point, sir, the money market, hence my show or my channel, Bank Versus You, I know for a fact things that would curl your toenails. Seriously. And we won't get into it tonight. But at the end of the day, I'd say 90% of anything that you and I and Phil and Henry are exposed to each day is 99.9% pure...
Chris is texting.
...steer shit.
He's not stuck.
Okay. There, I won't get the... but you see what I mean? And I'm going to circle back and yield the mic. And I'm sorry, Henry, I didn't mean to throw a dagger at you, brother, because you were spot on, I guess was what I should have said. But anyway, I'm like Dan, and I think I'm now like Phil, because Phil and I had a preamble call on this, and I figured this was coming. And Phil, you'll be okay. Trust me.
Yeah.
You will be okie dokie smoky. You're in a better position on the backgammon board than a lot of people I know. Henry, I don't know a lot about your situation. You're from Georgia, right?
Well, I'm actually from Connecticut.
I'm sorry. Well, where are you calling from? I mean, where's your residence? Is it still Connecticut or Georgia?
No, I'm Connecticut, Northeast.
Okay, well, hey, well, and Dan, if I may just play DJ for a second. Hey, what's the temperature up there? Not weather temperature, but political temperature in your neck of the woods?
Just like it's been for decades, it's completely left, just total liberals up here. It's just, you know,
your city council and city council as well?
I don't even know, but my sheriff, to be honest with you, I've only lived in Connecticut a few years. I came from Rhode Island, but I live in the country, so I'm not near any city, so it's not too bad where I live, but... yeah, Northeast of the Northeast.
God bless Yahweh. I have the same.
I feel like I'm alone up here sometimes because you guys down in Florida, there's so many patriots down there, and up in the Northeast here, it's just like when the shit hits the fan, like you like to say. I mean, it's not going to be nice.
No, it's a brand mounter hitting the rotating blade, sir. This is a family show.
You guys got each other to lean on down there, and I'm going to be all alone up here. Somebody's going to have to come up there.
Well, let me say this, Henry, and you know, you nailed one of my chief concerns, because I'm in the outskirts of Hillsborough County, and my mailing address is, you know, Tampa, Florida. Okay? Now, you might think that Phil is actually the closest comrade I have as far as geographic jurisdiction, but... a lot of us in Florida are either, like Dan said, kind of hiding in the bushes, and none of us know where the other one is as far as location. And, you know, when I was a kid and we got old enough, my parents had cut my brother and I loose at the state fair. But we had to meet by the merry-go-round at 5 p.m., and Dad bought us watches so that there was no excuse. Of course, we didn't have the cell phones. This is back like 1967. So we were basically working on analog watches. Yeah. But
like
Henry, you are a welcome introduction to me and what you're about. And again, sir, and I'll yield it back to Dan, but we have got to do something next. Or, Dan, and do we patiently wait for the big boom before the midterms? And
well,
if the Dems do win, then
no,
we're going to have a new plan. Or do we wait for the Repubs to win, and that's when civil war breaks out, and I do yield.
Well, go ahead, Phil.
I'm one that likes to look at things parallels and how they use these anniversary wise. And I find it kind of interesting that I've been laid off by this company that's being taken over by the Jews, and my last day is going to be November 5th. Now I'm half German, and I'm part Swedish. Okay. Now what's going to happen? What happens 6 days after November 5th? November 11th.
Right.
Right.
2018, 100th anniversary of the 11th hour, the 11th day of the 11th month. Okay, the end of the first World War, and the first big really the biggest catastrophe of the 20th century. And so I think that something's going to happen that way. I mean, this is kind of like, you know, it's like, okay, I just got punched in the gut here, you know, and now we're going to the war that had started it all is we're getting to that anniversary, and I think something is going to happen. I really do.
Well, hey, Phil, you know what triggered something in the old cortex up here? You know how they're erasing history, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're taking down. Well, see, but you analyzing history by date code, and then a new event can take place at the very same date, time, hour, you know, whatever. And wouldn't that be a way, and this just hit me, wouldn't that be a way to supplement history to help those that say, oh, no, bull crap, that, you know, Thanksgiving is November 25th or last Thursday in November, whichever it is. You see where I'm going with that? You triggered that. Because these sons of bitches have got a plan, and they're crafty enough to laugh at us when they put it in our face. And you just unlocked the key in my research brain. And thanks for letting me interrupt, Phil. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, the Kabbalists like to use symbolism and numbers for everything, and they like to do it in ways that will just absolutely deceive you. Or it'll be in your face if you know it, and it's not in your face if you don't know it. Like, for instance, 9/11, it's 911, it's an emergency call. No, 9/11 is actually the date that the high water mark of Islam that was defeated at the gates of Vienna on September 11th. So, you know, there's a whole lot, you can get these kind of numbers, you know, that are played everywhere. They do it a lot in sports, you know. And like I had mentioned about the Steelers, the Super Bowl XII, it was given to them. They had a bad call against the Oilers in the championship game. The guy saw it, but then they didn't. They called him out when it was in, so they let them win. Then the Cowboy guy drops the ball to let the Steelers win. The final score is 35-31. Total points 66 in 1978. 7 plus 8 is 15. 1 plus 5 is 6. There's your other 6. You see how it goes? Okay,
it keeps
going on and on and on. You get these numbers with dates and numbers. They love to play this game all the time, and nothing is done by accident. This enemy does the same shit all the time. They're going to, you know, and people just lap it up, and they think, oh, it's just coincidence. It's not coincidence.
You're just bending light with your hands, but at the end of the day, if you read the 33-degree Mason and some of their things that have leaked out, it is exactly what you're saying. We have got to let them know what we're doing, but we're going to put it in a manner that we honored our commitment, but we obfuscated it so much that these dumbasses will never figure it out. Well, again, it took me until, you know, and again, gentlemen, the 9/11 issue did raise concern in me, but I was a corporate sheep at the time and was focused on building my business. And I, as much as it was egregious, I didn't take the time to eyeball it, especially Building 7. And I'll leave that alone because we all know. But I always said, nah, there's no way our government, but it was kind of left a tinge in my craw, okay? And then in 2007, I started seeing it all come together because of the mortgage crash. And you go back and the Patriot Act, and Dan, I'm not going to suck up a lot more time, but these are the calories or degrees of the pot that slowly, slowly, slowly is coming to a boil, and we are the frogs. And for those that don't know what I'm speaking of, and I bet you do, you can put a frog in a pot of cold water. You can gently heat that thing to a boil, and that frog will most time perish. And that's Sir Dan, Phil, and Henry, is what we are not only experiencing, the damn pot is on high boil. Does that make sense, Dan? Should I put that in the book Phil?
Oh, yeah.
Well, no,
I don't mean to be a smartass, but yeah.
Dan had mentioned about the shot heard around the world. Well, you know, remember that from Schoolhouse Rock. You know, shot heard around the world, start of the revolution. We've had so many freaking shots, and we're like, when's something going to have actually happen? You know, when's it going to actually just start on our side? You know, we've been shot at so many times, it's ridiculous.
But what about the forgotten ones, the Mopper Building, which is Cody's been on our show, and what was the ship? Dan, I'm getting like you.
USS Cole.
Yes, sir. See,
and the
those are things
USS Liberty.
Well, I'm gonna yield because I did see the conversation. There has been, as Phil said, and I'll yield, so many that did come kind of like to the surface, but for a couple days. Benghazi, I'm going to throw that big one in there. The Fast and Furious. Anyway, I yield. I wanted to throw some gas on the fire.
Yeah, here's the problem. Okay, the shot heard around the world worked because you had two opposing armies. You had the whites in America. The farmers got together with the preacher at the Lexington Green, and they said that you're going to go no further. Well, the problem we have is, our enemies have no problem killing our people, but they like to do it when they got 50 of theirs against one or two of ours, and ours are unarmed. That's how the enemy works. They're such brave people. Or they take two young boys in Arkansas that happen to see the Clintons and their drug deal going down, and they murder them and throw them in front of a train. That's the kind of people we're dealing with. All right, so they get
blamed it on them smoking pot, Dan. Yeah.
Oh,
sorry,
I know.
Sir, but
we
yeah,
all know
that
that's
was
a
just
lie.
Such
we all know that's
bullshit.
A lie.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But
go ahead.
Yeah, but here's the thing: our side hasn't organized. They have cowered our people to they're afraid to even talk about most issues, let alone actually organize. That's the whole reason for Charlottesville. That's the whole reason for Oklahoma City. That's the whole reason for Randy Weaver's family being murdered, was to tell any white people that believe in the Bible, that believe in the old ways, that this is what we'll do to you. And so far it's worked, because now the militias have gone underground. White people are afraid to get together. So the propaganda so far has worked because white people are cowering. You and I are ready to go. The leaders, Father has already got everything we need to do. What he's waiting for is our people in mass, a large number of them, to say, we're not backing up anymore. That's all it's going to take. When they decide to come out of their comfy little houses and their computer games and watching their reality TV and sucking on their Mai Tais and all the delicacies of Babylon, when they decide it's no longer worth the sacrificing of their children and of all the innocent people that are dying at the hands of these creatures, when they decide they've had enough, Yahweh's already got the army. He's already got leaders already picked out. I volunteer to be one because I'm not going to stop until I'm dead. I'm going to keep going and keep going and keep going, and I'm going to slay as many of them as I can get. And
Amen.
If I'm still alive, I'll slay the last one of them, because I'm not going to stop until they're gone, because nothing on this earth is of interest to me to stop me. There's nothing
they can threaten me with,
and there's nothing they can bribe me with. And if we got a few more guys like that are out there for leadership positions, then the army's ready to go. Let's go, guys. As Jimmy says, knock on the door. I'm ready to go. But if I see you coming to confiscate my weapons, that same fury and that same determination will be against you.
They will be ready to go, Dan, if I may interrupt. I'm ready to go. You knock on my door and say, it's time, Jim. I'm ready to go, Dan. And
I'm five minutes
away. But if you're here to knock my door down with an arrest warrant, I'm not going to be threatening, because I really don't want to see my FBI friends anymore. But it's go time.
Yep.
If they come to my door and seize my property and seize for what I'm doing, then ... I yield.
That's right. Henry?
Yeah, I was just going to say, the world as it is currently constructed and the way it is currently operating is not a world that I want to live in anyway. So, screw it.
Good point.
Well,
good
we
point.
Know what's on the other side. And I've got
right.
six of my personal friends that have had the out-of-body experience. Six people, six witnesses to what it's like when we leave these bodies. And every one
That's
of
cool.
them had a phenomenal experience and did not want to come back.
Right.
I've got other evidences of what's on the other side besides what is revealed to me in prayer. I don't have photographic images, obviously, and I don't need them. I just know that that's where we're going. So my whole point is, where the hell are my ancestors? Where is the spirit of the Vikings? Where is the spirit of the Scythians and the Parthians and the Phoenicians that sailed these oceans many thousands of years ago? Columbus wasn't the first idiot to come over here. We'd already been over here for thousands of years.
Hey, Dan, you know, I'm not a big Star Trek fan, but I used to be. And back in the original Star Trek, Spock and Kirk, for whatever, there was some conflict on some planet, whatever. And it was subliminally projected to be heaven because all the cast of characters that you just named were there. And I think at the time, Roddenberry was trying to maybe put a timeline in for following and content. But now that we've all woken up, just like, did you get the song lyrics from 1969 from me last night?
I used to listen to that when I was a boy.
Yeah, same here. But let's go back to Roddenberry and Star Trek. The scripts, if I'm not talking about the, but really nobody was married. Kirk was like a Donald Trump or even a Bill Clinton, you know, he's getting all the girls. Doc was kind of a smartass, but he was their techie or smart guy. And let's go back real quick. Nobody was really married on the Andy Griffith show. You know, there's all these telltale signs, which I've awakened in before 2007 with research. It's like, my God, these people have been feeding us this. I almost put in your chat room, I burned my bra this morning, and I'm kidding because I don't own a bra. But, and then I'll, listen, ladies, I respect you. I will open your car door. I'll open an office door for you. But I'm not going to kiss your ass, and I'm certainly off the market, man. You see, Dan?
Yeah.
What's your acronym for us that are off the market?
MGTOW.
Yeah.
Today, after the end of the day, you know, we had all gotten fired, basically. And they were asking me, I says, "Why, Phil? Why aren't you married? You should have a girl." I said, "Well, you know the problem is." He says, "I'm having to take care of my mother." I said, "I can't. I'm stuck in between a rock and a hard place. I don't want to entertain some girl over with my mother in the house, you know, and I want to be able to have my own space, but I can't do that. And if I leave, my mother will end up running out of money, or she won't be able to take care of herself, and she'll be out in the street. But if I stay, I pretty much don't have a chance to get anybody because I'm a so-called mama's boy, even though I'm the one that runs the place." And I said, the most important thing is family and blood, and that's what so many people in this country, particularly these feminists and the way they're being brainwashed, don't realize that. And so these mothers want to worship their children when they're grown up, but then they won't respect a man who's trying to take care of his family.
Yeah, amen. And we're getting pretty close to quitting time here. I think we should go with our final comments. Anybody want to start?
Okay, I'll start. I'll just say that I think the biggest problem with white America, white Europeans today, is the warrior mentality that we used to have in days past when things weren't so modern and easy. has been bred out of us for the most part. There's a small, small number of us left, and that's why it's so difficult for us to act when we're being oppressed like we are. Hopefully it will happen, but I think that's one of the biggest problems we have right now. It's been bred out of us by intent, by the Jews. Done.
Yep. There's a good book written in 1915 called War and the Breed, which was the author of that book would agree with you 100%. The whole purpose of warfare, and we know who's behind these major wars, the whole purpose of warfare is to take the very best of your breed and leave them on a battlefield dead and dying. So these people are evil, and I don't know about the rest of our kind out there. I'm just speaking as the Father leads, but we've got the leaders, we've got the enemy identified, and it's just going to take that army to rise up out of that valley. That's all, because we can't do it alone. I mean, just the five of us, we couldn't do it. But Father has encouraged us to come onto these calls and to put this into the ethers, as one of my callers likes to tell me all the time. We are speaking his truth into the ethers. Now, how was the world created? It was spoken into creation. So Father told us when he walked this earth that we would do greater things than he did. Now, can you imagine that? Here's the Christ telling us we would do greater deeds than he did. We have it within us to do that.
Mm-hmm. I've got to interrupt as a techie, because there is no doubt in my mind that our voices right now are going through central offices and up to the bird, the ethers, the Ethernet. Your network cables that you're hardwired are called Ethernet cables, Cat 6, Cat 5, Ethernet cables. But mm-hmm. when we beam our voices, Dan, you're down in Homestead or in that general area, right, Miami, I didn't mean to disclose, but I know you're in a secure bunker. I'm up in Tampa. I think our friend Phil, I'm sorry, brother, is close in my jurisdiction, and our friend Henry is way up on the eastern seaboard. But our voices tonight, gentlemen, I would bet you, and I'm in telecom, we are bouncing off the birds. And there is your ether, Dan.
Right.
I'm sorry to make it so long, but I yield.
Yes, we're speaking it. We're doing what the Father wants us to do. That's my point, is we just need to stay strong, stay in faith, and be patient. It's not going to be much longer. He has told me that. We're not going to have to wait much longer to see this thing play out, whichever way it goes. In the meantime, we keep doing what we're doing, and trust the Father. Trust not in your own understanding, the arm of flesh, but trust the Father. The Father is the one with the plan, not you or anybody else. The Father's plan is what we're playing to. And we're going to just stay the course and know that we're going to be called to action soon enough. Okay, guys? Just trust that.
I know it feels like forever, but
we're going to be called to action soon enough.
Would you let one of us win the 9 million Powerball tonight? And I don't mean that for greed. I mean, if we had a war chest of acceptance of cash now, that's 500 million bucks. Can you imagine what kind of... And the other thing is, I agree with you, man. Father has chosen certain people. I'm not including any of us, but I do know that is for sure. And we do pray for some type of, collegially, that would be called an endowment. Religiously, I think you call it a blessing, Dan, which I agree with.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, all the men that I know of, Dan, bring a lot of talent and abilities and tenacity to the table. And frankly, I think our limitation is the financial resources to put our plan forward. And people say, okay, Jim, well, show me your plan. Well, Which one do you want? Dan, you know, I put together PowerPoints and schematics for certain land masses that we might look at for the Ark City. You mentioned that was on the show board, so I thought I'd cut into that real quick. We can do this.
Well, the resources will be there when the time is right. That much I can tell you. So right now we just stay the course, okay? It's all we can do. We have to stay the course. And we're not going. It's not going to be that much longer. I know we've been waiting a long time. Some of us have been doing this a very long time, but it's not. It's right around the corner. I'm telling you, it's right around the corner. So just hang tight, stay in touch with each other, keep the network going, keep the prayers going. Always walk with the Father. I mean, if He is for us, who can be against us? Remember that. And one with Yahweh is a majority. David went out against Goliath by himself in the name of Yahweh. And we call upon His name with this program. And that's why we say it without fear. In the name of our Heavenly Father is why we are standing against the evil and those who commit these crimes. And He's going to open that door. I'm not sure how it's going to happen, but it is going to happen in the very, very near future. We're not going to have to wait that much longer. And those dates that Phil talked about may be significant. They really might. And don't forget, the 5th of November was the gunpowder treason and plot spoken of in that movie V for Vendetta. That was
That's
on the
right.
5th of... That was also the 5th of November. So, you know, just take solace in all that. And I know we started going around for final words, and we sort of got on another thread there. So, Henry, I'll start with you again for a goodbye, and we'll have to sign off for the night.
Yeah, just have a good night. It was a pleasure talking with all you guys.
All right, Henry. Yahweh bless you, buddy. Stay strong.
All right.
All right. Phil, any final words?
My final word is that as an American of pure European ancestry, I think we could take a lesson from the American Indian. Nearly all the American Indians of significance had their tribal name was translated essentially as a human being, and anyone who was within that tribe had certain rights as a human being, and anyone outside of that tribe was not allowed to did not have those rights. And this is why being adopted into the tribe was such an incredible honor, because it basically made you worthy. We as white Americans, white, pure, 100% European, Israelite Americans, have been adopting the wrong entities, creatures, into our tribe. And we need to remove them. And if we remove them and we act tribally, we will win. And the Jew will flee. We can act tribally a hell of a lot better than those bastards can. And they will flee from us in fear. That's my point.
Sergeant First Class Stephen Berry said almost his exact words many years ago on this radio show. He is the author of The Resistor, the political warfare journal for the Special Forces Underground. He basically said those exact same words, Phil. So great minds do think alike. So thanks for being on with us. Yahweh bless, and we'll be talking soon.
Thank you, Yahweh bless, and it's been a pleasure.
All righty. Take care. Okay, Jimmy, final words, bud.
Well, Dan, I always close your show, call, whatever we want to nickname it, with a true extension of gratitude for being invited to speak. Over the weeks, you've grown to be a very trusted friend, and it was nice to hear from Phil and, of course, our friend Henry up there in the Eastern Seaboard. It's always nice to hear from folks across the country. Gentlemen, ladies, we must keep our eyes on the horizon, our stores stocked, our powder dry, and it's a shame that most good ladies don't have a man at home to protect them, but fear not, just prepare. And with that, Dan, thank you so much for making me a part of your outstanding broadcast, sir. Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless, Jimmy. Thank you, buddy. And, of course, a shout-out not only to our own listeners, but to the folks over at bankversusutv.com and the YouTube channel that Jimmy has there. Really, really salt-of-the-earth people. That's what I like to say. A lot of people say, well, you don't have big numbers. Look at Rush Limbaugh and look at Alex Jones and all these people with millions and millions of dollars and their audience numbers. And I always like to tell them, let's see, how many men did Christ need? Oh, that's right, a dozen. He had 12 guys, and between Christ himself and those 12 guys, he changed the whole world. And the effect of those 12 guys is still felt, whether we admit it or not. All right, 12 Benjaminites, one tribe, Benjamin, who is now found in the country of Iceland. Benjamin, the son of my right hand. The light bearers. How about that? Just 12 Benjaminites and Yahshua himself, and they changed the entire world. All right, there's your example. Numbers have never, ever mattered, and they still don't matter. King David was chastised by Yahweh himself because he counted the number of military-aged men in Jacob, Israel, back in those days, the Israelites, because he was fearful of going to have to fight a war, and he was fearful he didn't have enough men. And Yahweh told him not to worry, and he was chastised for that. And so we don't care about numbers. We care about quality. Quality will always win over quantity. Psalm 91 talks of that. Many other Psalms and Proverbs talk about that. So keep that in mind. Quality always prevails over quantity. And my good friend Mike Brown up there in Missouri, when he was a guest on the program, and he's written quite a few books, Brown's Lawsuit Cookbook and Bloody Iron, which was his instruction manual on how to fight a street fight with a knife, which I have a copy of. Mike Brown used to have a saying that there are two kinds of men in this world, merchants and warriors. And he said, now, Dan, right now the merchants run everything. And the definition of the merchant is these men that will do anything for money and the things money buys. That's your merchants, okay? Warriors do what they do for women. Now, a lot of people say, well, are you talking about sex? And no, it's what Jimmy talked about. When we say men will do everything they do for women, they're talking about family, children, the future, our race, our tribe. That's what warriors fight for. And then Mike finally said, and here's the good news, Dan. In the end, warriors always win. So the question that would be asked, where are the warriors amongst the white race? When are the warriors going to be tired of watching us die this slow death of 1,000 cuts at the hands of these criminals and wicked, evil people? That's the real question to ask. When is that group going to say, I've had enough? Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor that you and you alone deserve. We thank you for this opportunity to share and to discuss these matters before our brethren, and for the recording to go out to ears all over this earth, that our good folks are in all of the continents, and they're always listening, they're always wanting to network with good people. Your children right now are crying out to you, Father. Those with eyes to see and ears to hear, they see the terrible, terrible condition we live in. And they're crying out to you. This is your world, Father. You made it. You put us here. You made us who we are. And these are not what you intended. This world is nothing like you intended. And we failed you. We'll admit that. We failed you. You put Adam here, the white men here, to keep law and order, and we have acquiesced, and we're in hiding, and we've turned our backs on you. We've turned our backs on our heritage. We've turned our backs on our calling. Some of us are trying to come back, and we ask for you to reach down and help us, give us strength, give us courage, give us a stiff backbone, give us good discernment. Give all of your children good discernment in these perilous days. And as we go forward, we'll give you the praise again and all the glory. You said that you will be glorified with the way this thing turns out. And by gosh, that's exactly what's going to happen. There'll be no doubt that there's a King of Kings in the heavens when this is all done. Because if it wasn't for you, Father, we know we would fail. We would not succeed if it weren't for you and your help. And so that's what we're asking for. And of course, we ask for forgiveness for our shortcomings and our failings. And we do ask everything in the name of our Heavenly Father, Yahweh. Hallelujah.